Not only do we have a full show, they gave us 25 extra minutes just because we've been so nice and so patient over the last, what's it been, a month since we've had a full show. So it is good to be back. We're here until 9 o'clock. A lot to get to. It is always much more fun when you get involved. 312-981-7200. That's the phone and the text number. If you want to stay current with us on social media, then by all means, go to Facebook or Twitter. It's Brian Noonan Show on both of those forums. If you do call in to one of the aforementioned numbers, you will be talking to Cody. Is there a football game tonight? Because it doesn't seem like there should be. Goff, he is the executive producer from Rockford, Illinois. He is in some sort of odd gamer T-shirt, but you don't need to know what he's wearing. Just know that he's here, and if you're nice to him, you get to me. That's how it works. So we hear tell that there's a large football game. I don't know legally if we can say what game it is. I know we can say that it is going to be super, whatever it is, and there is a game, and it's a bowl game. So enjoy that. Falcons, Patriots, maybe you could care as much as I do, which is not at all. And every year, Cody, how many years is this that we have been what they like to call counter-programming to this football game?
This is at least our fourth suit.
big game? Big game?
You almost got me there.
I think we can say it if we're not trying to sell something with it.
Yeah.
Right? If we're not tying something in, what are they going to do? You said these two words together. You said Super Bowl. Then legal comes in and they're, well, he did say Super Bowl, but it was weird the way he said it because he wasn't really trying to sell anything by saying those words. Nothing he said before or after was for commercial gain. We're just, you know. We're just saying it's the Super Bowl. Everybody knows it's the Super Bowl, and you sound like an imbecile to try to cover it up.
The big game, the football contest between a team from New England and a team from Atlanta. Shut up. It's
but
the Super Bowl.
But they're crazy about it. I had to send a global memo to my colleagues that run Facebook pages at my day job to not mention Olympics during the Olympics, because the International Olympic Committee would basically sue, like, anybody.
Just for saying
it.
Olympics?
Yeah.
Because, for typing the word Olympics?
Because they can almost always imply some attempt that you're using their name for money, or right. That if it vaguely suggests that you were in any way involved with the organization of it or sponsoring of it or any right. Kind of transactional. And I think that the NFL is the same way.
Let me say this right now then at the offset. We are in no way implying either tacitly or through some subterfuge that we are in any way associated with, sponsored by, or in cahoots in any way with either the NFL, the Super Bowl, anyone over a 6'8 who plays football, any professional sports team of any kind during this broadcast. If the word Super Bowl comes out of our mouth, it is purely because we don't care about your laws. That's exactly what it is.
I don't think we're allowed to love our country either, because to be a patriot, that's trademarked. We can't be patriots.
But I could be a Falcon.
No, you can't be a Falcon.
You can't be a Falcon?
You can be a Raven today. You can be a Pigeon.
Can I be a Bear?
You can be a Chicago Pigeon.
You can be a Packer, because they're sitting at home, too.
That's
all right,
not
either way,
bird.
You know the point. The point of the story is there's the Super Bowl's on, but we know a lot of people couldn't care less about the Super Bowl.
You used that correctly.
I know I did, and I know you. I saw your eyes go up like, oh, I'm going to catch him. No, no.
Well, you said it so deliberately. I was
because
like,
I wanted to make sure I, you know, I let you know that I know how to use it. Because a lot of people, even today, as I was reading through various social media screeds, were telling me they could care less. And I'm like, well, then why don't you? If you could care less, then care even less. Like correctly, it's couldn't care less.
Like when people say they could have, and they spell it out, could, O-F?
Yes, could have.
I could have done that. That's
really?
Not a sentence.
I could have gone to school and learned how to write correctly, but that would have been a hassle.
Hi-yo!
And we all know that facts are worthless. Here's a couple facts. According to Google Search. And we know that Google Trends, it's Google Trends, not Google Search. Google Trends will never let us down when it comes to facts. A lot of people are having Super Bowl parties. A lot of people are enjoying Super Bowl snacks. I am not, and I gotta be honest, I'm starving. Because I told you I've started a new weight loss program to kind of, not that I, people who are familiar with my journey from big fat tub of mangoo to slightly large but much smaller tub of mangoo, know that I lost an inordinate amount of weight. I lost 763 pounds.
That much, huh?
It was that much. Because listen, that's an alternative fact. Those are what we look. That is all we are going to deal in on this program. If you listen to this program for anything other than fake news and alternative facts, you will be misled. You will just be duped.
And that's how you got to 210 pounds with 3% body fat?
That's right. That's why I am ripped like a, oh my goodness. Mm. No, I lost 160 pounds. Over the last year, I've put about 20, 25 pounds back on. And my wife and I are going on a vacation to a Caribbean destination at the end of March. And I was like, for a number of reasons, I wanted to lose that 20, 25 pounds that I put on, not the least of which is while I will not be a hulking Adonis on the beaches of the Dominican Republic, I also don't want to be a hulking blob on the beaches of the Dominican Republic.
The DR.
The DR. Not to be confused with the DL, which is how I know a lot of people live their lives. On the DL.
But you announced it, so you're not going to go to the DR on the DL.
No, I'm going to the DR on the WO.
What is
the wide open.
Oh.
Go to the DR on the wide open.
Is that the kind of beach you're going to go to?
No. I would never go to a clothing optional beach.
I wouldn't.
Never in a million years.
My girlfriend pitched the idea, and I said.
Did she really?
I said no.
Dude, you can't shut it down then.
I have no desire.
But your lady wants to frolic. Nude on a beach.
Don't want to see others.
Does she want to go? Now, it's clothing optional usually. Or did she want to go one of those where you could go bathing suit or not? Or does she want to go full butt naked?
I shut down the conversation so fast.
Really?
I don't even know.
See?
I don't want to see other people naked.
Well, no.
The people I want to see naked are in the minority, I think, of people.
Well, and the people who I would imagine, and this I could be way off, but I'm imagining, because I've seen pictures of nudist colonies, like there's one in Indiana, and a lot of those people you never want to see nude, but they're very happy in their nudity, and I'm happy for them. I'm not trying to body shame you. If you want to be naked and frolic about, that's up to you. I don't need to look at it.
I don't have a problem with them being nude.
No,
good
exactly.
For them, but
right.
I don't.
But you don't want to be part of it.
Well, and it doesn't do anything for me. Like, I would be way too self-conscious.
Yeah, it's, you know, and then you're by the water, and we all remember the Seinfeld episode with the shrinkage.
Mm.
That can happen.
I would get
plus
so much
sand,
attention.
Sand gets everywhere. Yeah, because they'd be going, is that, it looks like one, but it's much, much smaller. I understand that's the kind of attention you don't want. You don't want that all day. Plus, you know, do you want your girlfriend parading around naked in front of a bunch of other people?
No.
No, of course not. That nudity's for you and
I
you alone.
Am possessive.
I don't. Yeah, sure. Why not? I wouldn't want my wife frolicking about. You know, like, hey, save it for daddy. You know where that belongs.
Yeah, that's how I would have said it.
Sure, of course.
Save it for daddy.
Save it for daddy.
There you go.
That's how we do it. All right, but anyway, what did I start saying? Oh, people are having snacks. A lot of snacks. So there was a list, according to Google Trends, of the most popular Super Bowl snacks in every state. And most of them made sense to a certain point. But two states from the South threw me off. I'll share those, and I'll tell you what Illinois is. And if you, of course, listen, we love to talk to you. So if you want to share your favorite Super Bowl snack, I sound just like old-timey radio. Share your Super Bowl recipes, 312-981-7200. But I think you'll be as surprised as I am about these two southern states and what their most popular Super Bowl snack is. What are they? Well, just sit back and wait. I'll get to it on the other side. It's WGN. Some people texting in that they are listening to the program while watching the game on mute. We appreciate that. All right. I mentioned that the most popular Super Bowl snacks, this list came out from Google Trends, and two southern states threw me off. I didn't quite understand how these would link in. The first one, of course, Alabama. There's a lot about the South I don't understand, and this is not to besmirch an entire region of the country, but take it for what it's worth. Alabama, according to Google Trends, the most searched Super Bowl recipe was for porchetta. You know what porchetta is? Porchetta is like a thin pork tenderloin rolled up, and then it has pork belly or bacon wrapped around it to make it crispy. And I thought, that doesn't sound anything like something I would eat in Alabama. I expected like roadkill or a possum soup or something like that for an Alabama recipe. And yet, no, we get porchetta. And the other one was Mississippi. This threw me off. Their most popular, most searched Super Bowl recipe, sweet potato shepherd's pie. I'm a huge fan of shepherd's pie. Never had it with sweet potatoes. But again, Mississippi, that just seemed odd. All right, you may be thinking, Brian, that's all well and good, but none of us are heading down to Alabama or Mississippi for a Super Bowl party. We're heading right here in the Chicago area. Maybe we're going into Northwest Indiana. What do you got? What do you got for us here? All right, the most popular Super Bowl party snack in Illinois. Cody, you want to wager a guess?
Nachos.
No, incorrect. Buffalo chicken dip.
What?
Yes, my wife makes this buffalo chicken dip that I know people will say hyperbolically, man, this is like crack. Honest to God, I tell her she can't make it anymore because I can't stop eating it. It is the most unbelievably delicious, horrifically unhealthy concoction that God ever put down on a piece of paper and then into a piece of Corningware in the oven.
I want it.
It's unbelievable.
I want it.
Made with Frank's hot sauce, blue cheese, chicken, cream cheese. Oh, man. Forget it. And then she uses like either a blue corn tortilla chip or a pita chip. And you just, oh. I do a little healthy. Sometimes I'll eat some celery with it.
Oh.
You know, I use celery to scoop it up because that makes it better. Sure, I'm eating a giant bubbling cauldron of cream cheese and red and blue cheese and red hot sauce. But because I used celery, look at me. I'm very healthy. Unbelievable. We share that. By the way, we share our affinity for buffalo chicken dip with our friends to the north in Wisconsin. So that's the buffalo chicken dip, the most, the top Super Bowl snack in these states. You may be saying, Brian, you mentioned Northwest Indiana. What about us Hoosiers? What do we like to eat? Well, you know you like pulled pork. And that is not a euphemism. That is your Super Bowl snack recipe. Iowa, they like artichoke dip. Cody, when you were in school at Drake University, did you eat a lot of artichoke dip at your Super Bowl parties?
It's not my favorite, but I remember it was pretty popular.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Who doesn't like a good artichoke dip?
I don't.
Don't you really?
I don't dislike it, but it doesn't do much for me.
Right, here's now, see, I can... You're making buffalo chicken dip, you're making artichoke dip, you need a recipe. Michigan, explain to me why you would need a recipe for hamburger sliders. Little tiny buns, little tiny hamburgers. That's it. Make a slider. But that's their Super Bowl choice. And, of course, because I am always wondering what goes on in Louisiana, because in my mind I really wouldn't mind living in New Orleans, except I would be 7,000 pounds. I would be like that episode where Homer just put on all that weight in The Simpsons and had to wear a caftan. I would only wear a caftan, and I'd have to be riding around in a Rascal in about a year and a half. Because I would have, either I would have gained that much weight, or I would have contracted the sugar, and they would have had to take my foot.
Wow.
That's horrible either way. Scenario is bad. But they, in Louisiana, in Cajun country, creamy shrimp, crab meat, and spinach dip. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's pretty fancy.
That does sound fancy.
Like, really fancy.
Nah, it's probably real easy. Shrimp, crab meat, and spinach?
That's fair.
Go get some scrimps. Get a nice can of fresh crab meat. If you don't have fresh crab, then you go. Matt wants to weigh in on all of this because now we're making everybody hungry. We have no treats, just to be, in case anybody has some buffalo chicken dip or whatever. Hi, Matt. How are you, buddy?
Doing well, thanks.
Good. What's going on?
Not so much, man. Driving on the way back to Chicago, looking forward to the Super Bowl, and I'm starving. I'm not with anybody yet, you know?
You got to do what? You going to a party?
Yeah, man.
All right. What do you think they're going to serve? Is it a party you've been to before? Is their menu usually top-notch, or is this one of those, oh, man, they got a bag of Tostitos, and that's it?
You know, I'm hoping for a good smorgasbord, but... I'm not sure what they're going to have. You know, this is the first get-together we've kind of put on, so we'll see what happens.
And what's your favorite Super Bowl snack?
My favorite Super Bowl snack, hopefully they have the freaking grill going with some charcoals. And I'd love for some clams with some hot sauce.
Ooh. That is fantastic. Look at you, very high-end, Matt, very fancy.
Yeah. It's just not even that expensive, you know? It's like you get like $20. Just throw them on there, a little hot sauce, and it's done.
How long do you have to grill a clam before it starts to open up and you can eat it?
And honestly, I just wait until they open up.
That's a smart man. Why bother with all the work? Just enjoy the fruits of somebody else's labor.
Exactly. You know, they just pop open and just bang. You put a little hot sauce and you suck them right out.
I like the way you think, Matt. Well, enjoy your party. Travel safe. Thanks for the call.
Thanks, brother.
Take it easy. Cool. You too. I would not want to go to a Super Bowl party in Montana because their favorite Super Bowl recipe, buttermilk biscuits.
What?
Could be the most boring Super Bowl snack. Gather round, children. Sit in front of the big TV, and I'm betting it's not even a big TV because they're out in the middle of the country. I would love to go to Montana, but not on Super Bowl Sunday. Because the idea of the wide open spaces and living the cowboy life, and maybe that's it. Maybe they've all got one big cast iron skillet, and they're sitting around a campfire, and they're making buttermilk biscuits, and then they're going to go in, and they don't have a TV. They're just cranking up the old-timey radio, because everything's got to be old-timey if you're a cowboy. And then they're listening to a broadcast that sounds like it's being broadcast from outer space, and yet it's basically just down the highway.
My brother went to college in Montana for a couple years.
Did he really?
Yeah, and we went to a thrift store. And you know how usually thrift stores have technology that's a generation or two behind?
Uh-huh.
Like, you go here, you get VHS tapes.
Sure.
They had 8-tracks.
Ooh.
They had Betamax.
Nice.
They had early. I think they had some reel-to-reels in there. It was just ancient.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
Because, like, 30 people live there.
Yeah, that's why I want to go there.
You can fire cannons off when they score. Be a fun place to Super Bowl.
That would be fun. That would be that. Now you're changing my mind a little bit.
Yeah.
Plus, I've always thought it would be fun to live away from the rest of humanity, because I could still do a program from a bunker somewhere.
Mm.
Not that it would, not that my mental state would be any more unhinged than it already is. Imagine this is how I am surrounded by people. Imagine if I was left alone, just in solitude. What would come out of my mouth when the mic opened up?
The voices still talk to you.
I just get
interrupted here.
Yes, that's true. But up there, there'd be nobody to interrupt them. So it'd be, I wouldn't, as much as I love having you on the program and love having you, contribute, there'd be so many voices. It'd be like a really bad morning show where there's a million people in there talking and no one actually says anything. That's how it would be.
So you're in there making people hungry with these snacks.
I know. I'm sorry.
I have a breaking snack update from the producer's booth.
Hold on. Breaking snack update.
I just went in the fridge to grab a bottle of water, which there's, sadly, none of.
Yes.
And there's a bottle of organic drinking vinegar.
Organic drinking vinegar?
It says organic drinking vinegar.
I'm going to put that down as my least favorite Super Bowl snack. I don't even have to do a comparison, a taste test. I'm going to say organic drinking vinegar. First of all, it's organic. I only like the chemically enhanced drinking vinegar.
GMOs.
Sure. I like all of that. And I like it in plastic with a lot of BPOs. So, is it BPOs or BPM?
Beats per minute is BPM.
Right. There's something...
BPO is bio...
I don't know. There's something bad with plastics.
All right.
What does it say on the label?
It's lemon cayenne flavored... organic drinking vinegar.
What's it supposed to help us do? Because if it's supposed to help us do something, we should drink it.
It has 4 billion live probiotic cultures. 4 billion.
I would be afraid with 3 hours left in the program that those probiotic cultures would wreak havoc on my digestive system. And at some point during the 8 o'clock hour when Karen Conti is here, I would excuse myself and not return.
So it expired a week ago, and I'm pretty sure I see several million of the live cultures in here.
I bet it's sea monkeys.
Culturing together. Do you see this?
Oh, that is horrifying. You got to take a picture of that and put it on the Facebook page. All right, we'll post a picture of this on the Facebook page. It looks like, it does look like dead sea monkeys or sediment or so. BPAs. Thank you, Texter from the 708. The BPAs are the bad things in plastic.
Something in here was alive. And it is not anymore.
And it's dead.
Definitely not.
So what's our lesson? If you have organic drinking vinegar, you must drink it before its expiration date, or everything in there will die.
But it's vegan, kosher, gluten-free, and it says BPA-free.
BPA-free, that's perfect. Perfect. Even though, I tend to like my BPAs jacked up. Well, I don't even know what you would drink that for. We'll Google that during the news. Because Roger's going to join us, actually. Because we're usually not on before Roger does his first newscast, and I don't know if he's contractually able to speak to us beforehand.
Notice upstairs the news camera looks like a fisheye lens?
Yeah. What's going on up there? I don't know who they've hired.
They switched out the old camera about right after you guys stopped being on the air.
What, in March?
Yeah. March, 2 years ago.
2 years ago was the last time we had a show.
There is a little spy camera Really? Sitting up there right now. It's very small.
And also, they did it, it looks like, in the traffic room as well, because that, even though
yes,
the traffic...
Yes, they did do that.
Is, it all looks very odd.
Mm-hmm. And I think you should be on a skateboard.
Or doing something untoward to either an elderly person or a child.
What?
It's like a nanny cam.
Yeah.
It's like I'm looking at a nanny cam.
Yeah,
so you should be doing something
more. I'll pretend that I don't know it's there, and I'll act...
And then we'll just catch you, like, cursing out a news producer or flipping off somebody.
It'd be nice if there was actually somebody else up here with me.
I don't know if you know this, Roger. There's the Super Bowl tonight. Nobody's here.
Really?
Oh, we all got to be at the
You're
Super
kidding.
Bowl.
You're kidding. I was watching the golf.
I don't even know what that
They're
is.
They're golfing right now?
At the Super Phoenix Bowl? Open? No, not at the Super
that
Bowl.
That's a halftime show.
Phoenix Seems like open. A weird... Yeah, Lady Gaga's teeing one up.
Yeah, she's getting ready to sing at Phoenix, and then she'll jet over to the Super Bowl.
It's going to be very exciting, man. She's going to be very, very busy. On the other side of the news, are we boycotting Budweiser? No, idiots. We'll talk about that after the news on WGN. All right, we were talking about, what was that? Organic drinkable vinegar before the break. And I wondered why people are drinking vinegar. Who else to ask but Dr. Oz, because Dr. Oz knows all. Roger, you have a lot of, you're always concerned with health. Do you drink vinegar?
Very much. No.
Do I.
No.
All right. Well, you're saying it like I
use vinegar in cleaning solutions.
Sure. Well, it can clean you up,
and anything
too.
That can clean something doesn't necessarily belong in my body.
Well, water can clean things, duh.
It depends on the things. If it's like a spot of mud on the floor,
so there your logic falls apart immediately. If something can clean something that it doesn't go in your body, it falls apart.
Anything that can strip varnish off a wall.
Coca-Cola can remove rust. You ever
drink
a Coke?
I don't drink sodas anymore.
All right, well,
thank you very much.
Well, listen.
God knows what it does to the inside of my
body. And you said soda. You're going to be drummed out of Chicago.
What? I'm sorry.
Calling it soda.
I call it soda.
Call it soda. What are you, highfalutin?
I'm very
highfalutin. Pop.
Highfalutin.
You get a can of pop.
No, I get a can of soda.
Nah.
All right. Soda pop.
All right, Andy Griffith. Yeah. We haven't missed Roger derailing things at all. No, it's good to be back. Actually, good to see you. All right, here are some ways vinegar can give your health a boost, according to a registered dietitian and the author of Read It Before You Eat It, Bonnie Taub Dix. And that's that's a real name, Cody.
What, he's laughing?
Yeah, he's it's like Beavis and Butthead in there. TAUB-DIX.
Stop.
Bonnie Taub Dix.
What is he laughing
that's
for?
That's her name. I'm not saying it to be gratuitous. I'm reading the woman's name. She's a registered
dietitian.
Something
about the way you said it, I'm dying in here.
Well, yeah.
You know, I almost spat my water on the
concert. I saw you almost spat.
I would have gotten in trouble.
Need some vinegar to clean it up.
No, that can't go in his body.
Okay.
All right, so there's some valid science-backed benefits to vinegar that are worth sharing. Vinegar can help improve blood sugar. There you go, Cody. Everybody likes their blood sugar better.
I'll drink that with some cinnamon. I'll be good to go.
Drinking
insulin.
Apple cider vinegar before a high-carb meal improves insulin sensitivity, slowing the rate of blood sugar levels rising in people who are insulin-resistant, according to a 2004 study. It protects your heart health. Balsamic vinegar prevents the oxidation of low-density lipoproteins, or LDLs, as they call it in the medical business.
That's my wife loves balsamic vinegar on her salads.
I do, too. It's very tasty.
Yeah.
Very tasty. Who knew it was good for my heart?
Yeah.
I knew it was good for the waistline. Can help you lose weight if you substitute it for unhealthy fats, namely in salad dressings. So you could do that. It kills bacteria. It's thought to have antibacterial properties that can help fight infection behind a sore throat. The acidity decreases the pH level of tissue, which helps prevent bacteria from growing on its surface. Vinegar may help reduce the risk of cancer, it says. Vinegars are a rich source of polyphenols, compounds synthesized by plants to fight oxidative stress. Look at that.
There's an apple cider vinegar diet. Have you heard of this?
I've heard of it. I used to work with a woman who was a bodybuilder. She was trying to get in shape for a bikini contest, like a fitness contest.
Yeah.
And she would drink some apple cider vinegar before every meal. And she claimed, as a lot of people do, that it helps you lose weight. However, that specific thing is mentioned. I didn't say it. It was mentioned in the first paragraph of this that The drinking a small amount of apple cider vinegar before a meal helps curb appetite and burn fat has little scientific support, according to the Mayo Clinic. And they're no slouches when it comes to giving medical advice, the Mayo Clinic. So, no, I have not been on the apple cider diet. Those, let's be honest, those fat diets never work. You may lose a ton of weight, but you're going to gain it all back. Well, I told you, I've told you the story of when I started on my journey. I was talking to somebody, a corporation who had one of these crazy diets, and I went and met with the person, and they said, "Well, here's the thing, you basically never eat. You eat, I forget, it was some ungodly low amount of calories every day." And they said, and the weight just falls right off. And I'm thinking, yeah, and if I went to a desert island, it would fall off the same way. And then I said, okay, that sounds terrific. I would love to lose all this weight. But once that weight is off, am I ever going to be able to say, and I use the example, will I ever be able to have a beer again? Well, probably not. You probably wouldn't want to, because then the weight will come back on. I'm like, so what's the point of losing all that weight if you can never eat or drink again? You know, you got to find something that's going to change the way you live, like a trough of buffalo chicken dip. That'll change the way you live.
That sure will.
All right. Let's get to this, because I love America. Just going to put that out there. I have trouble with some Americans. I'm going to put that out there as well.
One of them might be in this studio right now with you. You're just going to put that out there.
I don't. There's nobody in here but me.
I'm in here.
Oh, well, you're in another room.
I'm in the studio.
All right. Yeah. No, I don't think you and I will differ on this. And I'd be interesting to hear from people who do. We've been hearing a lot about this. It was the commercials are always a big deal on the Super Bowl. Budweiser has been a sponsor of the Super Bowl for 42 years. For 28 years, Budweiser has been the exclusive beer sponsor of the Super Bowl. That's pretty good. Budweiser, of course, depending on which slogan you want to hear, the king of beers. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri. We know it. It's an iconic brand. The Clydesdales, Bud, Bud Light, all the other things, even though they were sold and they're not under Anheuser-Busch anymore. It's still an iconic American company. Now, the founder, not born in America. He immigrated to the United States. So this year they decide for their big Super Bowl ad, one of their big Super Bowl ads, they're going to produce a 60-second spot, and it's called The Hard Way. And it follows the founder of Budweiser, Adolphus Busch's journey to America in 1857. And it's kind of grainy, and it shows him coming across on a boat through choppy seas. And then he gets here, and people are yelling, "Go back to where you came from," you know. And then he's on like a river barge, and he's going down the river, and there's a lot of different kind of people on there. He's sitting next to an African-American man, and there's some other people on this barge, and then the barge starts to sink, and he ends up in St. Louis. How do we know it's St. Louis? Well, because as he's walking by, some guy walks by him, and then there's some Clydesdales, and he says, "Welcome to St. Louis." So, hey, tease in, we got it. Then he walks into a bar because he wants to have a beer, and a man offers to buy him a beer. Turns out the man who offers to buy him a beer is Eberhard Anheuser. What? And they strike up a conversation, and it ends with a handshake. Sounds great. Tells a story of the founding of this company and what this man had to go through to get here, the hard way. And it shows why, according to a statement from Budweiser, this shows why Budweiser is brewed the hard way. It's not brewed easy. This is according to their master brewer, Peter Kramer. He says, "While everyone knows Budweiser, they don't necessarily know our story or how we came to be brewed the hard way." Well, as you can imagine, in this day and age, the country is divided as it is, and everybody overreacting, and social media being the place that it is, a lot of supporters of President Trump have decided that this 60-second commercial by Budweiser outlining the history of their founder is somehow a slam at the president and his immigration ban. And yes, I'll call it a ban because, well, the president himself called it a ban. So, you know, I figure if he can call it a ban, I can call it a ban as well. Some of the tweets that resulted from this. Way to go, Budweiser. Kathy Pierce tweeted this. Way to go, Budweiser. You've managed to blank off middle America. You know, the people who used to drink your beer. Yes, that's right, folks. There is now a hashtag boycott Budweiser because people have looked at this commercial and decided that it is a slam against the president. Now, most of these people, and I'm going to bet that most of us would know this. Whether you're a supporter of the president or you're not a supporter of the president, whether you drink Budweiser or you don't drink Budweiser, most of us are smart enough to know that an elaborate television commercial is not put together in a week. And then a marketing strategy, Cody, you work in marketing in your day job. What would you say the lead time is for a major corporation in their marketing plan? I would say probably right now plans are in place for next year's Super Bowl ads. Would I be way off base?
That would be correct.
That would be correct. All right.
Super Bowl ads, a commercial production is going to take at least a couple months.
From concept to storyboards to casting to location finding to shooting to editing to sound mixing to approval of the clients on every level, and then it's finally done.
Yeah, commercial casting agencies are putting out, you've done this, you've probably auditioned for Christmas commercials in, what, July?
Yeah.
June, sometimes? I mean, you'll shoot Christmas commercials in
a couple of the guys I work with at Tony and Tina's wedding were cast in Christmas lottery commercials for different states at the end of August. Those come out in mid-November.
Yep.
So this is how far ahead things are planned. And now that's a small state lottery. When you're talking about Budweiser, who are spending I don't know how many millions of dollars a year in advertising, this stuff is going on all the time. All right, so people are saying boycott Budweiser because they believe that the president is being mocked. Another tweet, sorry, Budweiser, I liked sipping you while chewing on teriyaki beef jerky, but it will stop now. I think the beef jerky may be more of a problem. Don Lee tweeted that Budweiser, quote, has decided to make fun of Trump during their commercials at the Super Bowl. Explain to me if you believe this. 312-981-7200. And I would like to hear, because I honestly genuinely do not understand how you could look at this commercial and think that it is a slam on the president. Listen, I disagree with the ban. But I looked at this, and all I saw was the story of an immigrant who built up a business that is now one of the most American businesses ever. When you talk about, you go all over the world, Budweiser is the American beer. When you talk about American beer overseas, it's Budweiser. So I saw a struggle and a journey and the founding of a partnership that became the quintessential American brand. I didn't see any slamming of the president. But maybe that's me. Maybe I'm naive. Another tweet, we don't need your beer, your opinions, or your illegal immigrant, tweeted another Twitter user. Again, it did not say that Adolphus Bush was an illegal immigrant. I don't know if he had his papers. It seemed like he did. He didn't seem to be hiding. He came over and he got off the boat and there he was. Norma Earls tweeted that she's, quote, never been a Budweiser drinker and that, quote, now I never will be. I just don't understand. Again, Budweiser insists that the message is apolitical. The story celebrates Adolphus Bush's American dream and the bold vision to brew the best beer in the world. I read you before what the master brewer said, and from the vice president, Ricardo Marquez of Anheuser-Busch, said the commercial shows the start of Budweiser's journey, and while it is set in the 1800s, it's a story we believe will resonate with today's entrepreneurial generation, those who continue to strive for their dreams. And when you look at it that way, is this just another sign, and I believe that it is, it's just another sign that both sides of any are looking for something to be offended by. We're looking, and listen, both sides are guilty of this, but in this particular case, use your head. And plus, here's something else. Boycotters, hashtaggers. The more you hashtag about your boycott, the more Budweiser, Starbucks, anybody else loves you. Because you're just drumming up more business for them.
New Balance.
New Balance. Why are we boycotting New Balance?
New Balance got, that was a thing right at the start.
Oh, right, because they were the white man's shoe or something?
Something like that? Somebody in their comms team said something about how they hope they can work with Trump for certain trade restrictions.
Right.
That made it harder for them to produce domestically or something.
Right.
It doesn't matter. Someone
we're also going to boycott L.L. Bean. We're going to boycott L.L. Bean for a while.
Yeah, let's just boycott everything.
I think we should. We're too much of a consumerist society.
So consumerist.
Just start boycotting everything. I don't normally drink Budweiser, not for any political purposes, just because it was never my thing. I have, though, there are places you go, like the United Center. If I'm going to drink beer there, I drink Bud Light, because that's what they have on tap. So I have nothing, you know, I have no skin in this game, as the kids like to say. I'm not on Bud's payroll. I'm not a lackey for Budweiser. You know what I'm a lackey for? Not being a jerk.
Whoa.
That's what I'm a lackey for. And if you are truly offended by this commercial, you need to sit down in a quiet room, preferably in the dark, and just think for a couple minutes. Just think and go, all right, listen. This guy, I've been drinking this beer since I was 12. I've enjoyed Budweiser my whole life. And I figured, even though I hadn't really done any book learning on it, I figured that a guy named Anheuser and a guy named Bush probably were not Native American, so they probably came from somewhere else. There had to be a story. Well, now I've seen the story, and it angers me. Why don't you put your head down, have a nice cold Budweiser, and just relax your crack a minute, all right? Because this is completely insane. 312-981-7200. We got to do a little biz. Then we'll be back with what? Well, find out. Shane's in Indiana. He wants to jump in on this. Hi, Shane.
Hey. I was listening to this, and every company, well, everything, really, but every company in our country has a history. So it's just logical to show the history of the company.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too, Shane. I'm like, okay, we know what Budweiser is. They're just saying, listen, this is how it started, and according to their spokespeople, it's like we're trying to show a younger generation that, listen, through hard work and your dreams, this is how you can become successful. And I think that's a fine message.
Yeah, I think so, too. I myself am a historian. I'm always reading history about things. And the history of the company should be told. You know that Anheuser-Busch aren't American names.
Right.
So they had to come from somewhere.
And the fact that the company has been around as long as it has, you figure those guys started that company when they emigrated from wherever they came from. So I don't see the problem other than people are looking for a reason to be upset.
Yeah, they're just looking for a fight.
Yep. Well, I don't know. I don't know if they've got one. I wish we had some Budweiser here. We'd crack open to celebrate. Shane, thank you for the call. That's what we should have done, Cody. We should have got some Budweiser in here just to stand in solidarity. That's a good excuse, too. When they go, why were you guys drinking all night? Well, solidarity with Budweiser. Anheuser-Busch.
It's interesting, because advertising is meant to make you buy stuff, right?
Sure it is. But so, Super Bowl commercials are different.
What do you mean?
While Super Bowl commercials are still geared to make you more amenable to someone's product, the sales pitch is usually downplayed a little more. The Super Bowl commercials tend to be a little more theatrical, a little longer, more production value put into them. So it's not quite the hard... It's not the hard sell that a regular everyday spot is going to be.
Oh, sure. But it's funny because you said you were joking, but you said we should get some Bud to stand in solidarity. But some people might see this commercial and go, oh, what a cool message. Budweiser was started by an immigrant. That's great. I'm going to go out and buy some beer. And that's okay because that's the intended purpose.
Sure, of course it is.
We are not going to judge that. But if it causes the opposite reaction, and it causes a reaction of disgust, and they say, well, I don't like this, then in this particular case, it's funny that we're taking such exception.
I take exception because I don't... Remember the commercial a couple years ago where... And I'm going to mess this up, and I should have looked it up, but it just came into my head now. There was basically, it was an insurance company, and they talked about a dead baby.
Oh, my God.
Remember
yeah.
that? Okay.
Yeah, I remember that.
That commercial, I viscerally went, I would never use that company. Because that was a fear-mongering tactic and completely, in my opinion, distasteful. This, I don't see how telling the story of the founder of a company can infuriate you so much that you wouldn't want to. You would want to boycott a product, especially a product that you claim, some of these tweeters have claimed, they've been drinking for years. Well, all the company that you've been supporting for years has done is show you what the founder of the company went through to start the company that you've been enjoying for years.
It's also pretty on brand. If you remember, they yes. renamed the beer America over the summer.
Fake news.
Oh, that's right. I hallucinated that last 3 months of summer.
No, they did. They did. They called, of course.
They literally renamed it America, so clearly.
That was what I went. That was a little silly. But, okay.
It was silly, but.
I wasn't so angry that I was going to boycott it. I will not drink anything named America. That's horrifying. That is the worst thing I've ever heard. America. Pshaw. So, all right. Listen. Maybe we'll go out and buy a beer and an Audi or some other car. That's going to be advertised. I don't know.
Or an innie.
Or an innie. Those innies are too small. I can't drive an innie. I'm surprised you could think you could do it 6'5". No chance. On the other side, we'll get into, oh, could the streets of Chicago be musicless soon? We'll find out after the news on WGN. You won't be able to dance along the streets of Chicago much longer if Alderman Brendan Riley has his way.
Nice transition, Brian.
Thank you, Cody. Yes, street performer crackdown could mean competition for CTA space. That an article in the Tribune today. Now, granted, I don't live in the city. I come into the city all the time. I walk down the streets of the city. I don't mind hearing street musicians. Mostly because I don't pay that much attention. I didn't realize the cacophony of street music was turning into such a horrendous problem for our residents. There's a number of people, number of performers, who perform in CTA stations. Only three CTA stations in Chicago allow street performers. Washington and Jackson on the blue line, and Jackson on the red line. Now, back when I was a high schooler and commuting in from the suburbs, I would take the IC. Remember the IC, Roger? They
oh,
call
yeah.
it the Metro now, but used to be the Illinois Central.
I know. Used to have a station down, I believe, on Roosevelt. It's all totally converted.
Well, yeah, that was, you could call it a station.
Yeah.
It was just a rickety wooden overpass. It was the most horrifying trestle to try to cross. But yeah, you'd get off, and it's still the Metro station at Randolph here. You'd get off there, and there would always be music in the tunnel come as before you popped up into the
giant. This was way before they were licensing people.
I know. Now they license them. And now they're going to try to crack down. They're going to try to restrict music on downtown streets, which the performers who are licensed and perform in the CTA stops are worried that will lead to them having more competition for their spots. And they already work in kind of, there's a spirit of cooperation between the musicians who will say, all right, well, we'll come here for a little bit and then we'll go for a little bit. It's all nuts. But Brendan Riley, the alderman of the 42nd Ward, is pushing for this, to restrict music on downtown streets. It would cover, Michigan Avenue from Cedar to Balboa. So kind of the Gold Coast.
Oh.
Right. Fancy schmancy.
Uh-huh.
But from way up Cedar all the way down to Balboa. So pretty much all of Michigan Avenue, right?
Yeah.
It would also then cover State Street from Huron to Jackson. Is there a lot of residential in that area? It's mostly business, right?
It's mostly business, but they're starting some of the high rises
sure,
have been
South
converting
Loop.
Over.
All right. See,
yeah.
I would love to, and I, you know, this is narrow casting to a couple blocks of people. But is it that bad? Are the street performers that bad?
No.
Plus, everyone's headphones are on.
Right. Who's hearing it?
Yeah.
If they're not block, here's the only thing I have a problem with. If they're blocking the thoroughfare. If you're in my way, then I got a problem with you. If you're standing right next to the building and you're not blocking a doorway or anybody's egress, then I don't care.
And that's where they are. They're not blocking anyone's walking, and they're not that loud. It's usually one or two people at the most that are performing.
And they're also saying it would cover streets near the Petrillo Music Shell or Pritzker Pavilion during concerts. All right, that I get.
Yeah.
Because nobody wants to, if I'm going to a concert at the Petrillo or Pritzker, mm-hmm. I don't want to hear, you know, Joe Saxophone or the
Drifting
Tub Thumpers.
Over, yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to hear any of them.
It's the drum groups.
Probably.
When I left Flight of the Conchords at Millennium Park and Guns N' Roses,
yeah.
both times on the way back, you hear the drum groups.
Yeah,
and
but that was after the concert.
It doesn't matter. You got the song stuck in your head, you're on a high, you've got that vibe, and then suddenly you're hearing something else immediately. I hate that.
So you want to crack down, you want
wow.
these kids in their overturned pickle barrels ousted.
Yeah, Guns N' Roses finishes with Paradise City. I want
right.
to be singing Paradise City for 3 days. I don't immediately want some random drum.
How weak is your brain that it can't hold on to Paradise City for a couple hours?
It's pretty weak, Brian.
So, you know, you have the drummers play Paradise City.
Right, toss them a couple bucks.
Yeah, help them out.
Come on, hook a brother up. What you doing?
I don't like that.
Well, all right, well, then maybe you move to the 42nd Ward and your alderman, Brendan Riley, can hook you up.
I don't mind if they play any other time, but I do dislike when it's right after a show. That's all.
See, and I don't mind if I come out of the UC and they're banging on their I don't get it. I mean, I understand it. I guess it's a talent. Hitting on your plastic bucket. But it's not my thing.
I feel like there's a lot of people on the streets asking for money that could maybe address before musicians.
Right. See, at least the musicians are giving you something. If you're a musician and you're asking me for money, you're playing something, all right, maybe you're not the greatest, but that's okay. At least you're doing something. You're not just somebody out there asking for money. And I don't want to sound heartless, but sometimes I am. Sometimes it's all about me and if I can get somewhere easier. And I don't want to always have to feel like I, you know, stiffen somebody who may or may not really need it. That's the issue.
It's not like we want to get rid of homeless people because we don't want to feel guilty. We want to get
no.
rid of homeless people because no one should be homeless.
Well, listen,
you know what I mean? Like,
I
people
do.
Should take care of each other, and maybe
right.
the city could put together some...
We don't have money for that.
Some ways to...
Listen, we don't have money for taking care of people. Sap.
Put them to work doing something we can't afford to pay.
They are. They're,
I don't know.
They're working at their music.
I'm not going to fix the economy right now
no,
on the air.
No, we can't fix the economy. Riley said the ordinance is to protect workers and residents downtown aggravated by constant drum or saxophone riffs. For people who have to hear it 6 hours straight, those sounds and performances aren't music or enjoyable. It's deafening, mind-numbing, and maddening noise. Can you hear it inside? I don't know because I don't live there. That seems like it may be exaggerated just a little. That you have to hear this for 6 hours straight. First of all, if a guy can blow the saxophone for 6 hours straight, he needs to be doing something else. He needs to be a professional musician somewhere. And if you can drum for 6 hours straight, call Guns N' Roses. Cody said they only put on a couple hour show. They need a little more help.
That is not true.
That's not true.
Their show was awesome.
All right.
And
relax.
It was like almost 4 hours.
Why are you an apologist for Guns N' Roses?
Because they're the best rock and roll band of all time.
Mm, arguable.
Not arguable.
Extremely arguable.
Oh, I just Roger, watched, I knew you were going to say
that. I just
that.
Watched the Rolling Stones' Havana Moon. Have you seen that? That's the historic concert they did a few months ago in Havana. The first time the Stones have played in Cuba ever. To like a million people for free. It was unbelievable. And to watch Mick Jagger, Keith Richards, Ronnie Woods, and Charlie Watts, who are about collectively 712 years old and weigh a collective 18 pounds.
They're older than Methuselah.
They don't hide it.
Yes.
These guys, geezerly is an upgrade for them. They are ancient. And you look at them and it's like, they're a testament to, you know, we always hear about healthy living is the way to go. I look at these guys still running around in their mid-70s, late-70s, and I'm like, maybe heroin isn't that bad. Because, look, they're all in shape. They're still running around.
They're preserved.
Maybe this is the way to go. I don't think Keith Richards is ever going to die. Back to the point is, they may in fact be the world's greatest rock and roll band. The Rolling Stones, people would argue they are the world's greatest rock and roll band. U2 claim they are the greatest rock and roll band.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of, you know, Roger lobbies for the Cowsills. Every time great rock and roll bands come up, Roger says the Cowsills are the greatest rock and roll band living and or dead.
I'll shoot for The Who.
Yeah. Oh, The Who.
Come on.
Listen, I can't argue with that either.
Okay.
The Who were phenomenal. Mm-hmm. I didn't see them with Keith Moon, but I saw them on the Who's Next tour.
Oh, all right.
So, yeah, back in the day. Well, that was after Moon died.
Mm.
So, so they'd be good.
Still counts.
I have not seen Guns N' Roses.
Mm.
But
that's your mistake.
Is it?
Yeah.
All right.
It is definitely a mistake.
Okay.
I'm seeing him this year.
There you go.
Again.
Well, I know you are. Some weird, out-of-the-way place in the middle of nowhere.
The Gorge.
Like where aliens live.
The Gorge in George.
George what?
See, George Washington.
George Washington.
In George Washington.
You're going to see them in the corpse of George Washington?
I'm going to be inside
that
George
is going to be a crazy show. Very echoey in the head. But I hope you're not sitting there because the sound just bounces off the bone, the skull bone, and you never get a true acoustic appreciation of Paradise City again. You got to sit more in the gut where, you know, you get the sound kind of just dissipates through the rib cage.
My tickets are in the pit.
Are they really?
Yeah.
The pit in the gorge?
The armpit.
Yeah. The pit of George's.
The pit of the gorge.
Yeah.
The pit of George's gorge?
It's going to be disgusting.
I'm going to say that dietitian's name again just to crack you up.
That was too much.
All right. You may wonder, Brian, why are you talking about this? I don't know. It's just, why wouldn't we? We haven't been on for 8 months. We're going to talk about whatever pops into our little noggins. Stay away. I know it's circuitous. You were talking about street musicians, and suddenly you were in a debate about the world's greatest rock band, and then Cody was singing a concert in someone's head. I don't understand this program at all. No wonder you get preempted all the time by sports. Sports at least are linear and make sense. You make absolutely no sense whatsoever. There should be a time when people come down there and just get to hit you in the head.
Maybe there will be. We're always looking for promotions. Promotions does always listen to us, but we're always trying to find out things to do.
I told you I tried to get him to let us go to Rockford to do a broadcast.
When?
I talked after, you know, because Rokan and his crew are going to Mexico.
Mm.
Now, granted, that's the afternoon drive. Roe's a big deal. He gets to go to Mexico. I thought, well, all right, on a sliding scale, let's do the math. I called in an actuary. I almost said actuarial, but that's not right. I called it an actuary who told me how to pronounce the word better.
He crunched the numbers.
He crunched the numbers, and we rated Rockford. So I thought, okay, well, after the actuary said on the sliding scale, you guys pretty much could pull off a Rockford remote. I said, all right. I ran it by the boss. They just laughed at me. Everything I bring up, they just laugh at me.
Did you tell them we could do it from the restaurant voted Rockford's number one Mexican restaurant?
Yes, of course, the Taco Bell.
That's true.
I know it's true.
Oh, okay.
That's why I said it.
All right. I didn't know.
This is not fake news. Right now, people are screaming fake news. There's no way Taco Bell was voted number one Mexican restaurant in Rockford. Au contraire, mon frère. That is exactly. How does that happen, Cody? You're from there. I was at a Chi-Chi's once in Rockford. That has to outdo Taco Bell. I don't even know if Chi-Chi's is still around.
Alvarez is the best food in Mexican in Rockford.
Is that right?
Well, it's in Love's Park, technically, so I don't know. You know?
Were they going
to... It has to be in the city proper.
They weren't going Rockford Metro? They were going Rockford City?
I don't know.
How do you even know?
That's like when I lived in Des Moines, and I would drive 8 minutes down the road to the Walmart, and that was...
In Urbandale?
No, it wasn't Urbandale. Okay. No, it was still in the city, but it was, I think, zoned as a different...
Something else.
But yeah. It's Des Moines. It was in Des Moines.
Sure.
So, I don't know.
Hmm.
That's city suburbs only, I think, matters of places like Chicago.
Well, it's troubling that, and again, nothing against Taco Bell. I haven't made a run for the border in many years. I haven't had a chalupa. But it's fine. I would never consider it high-end Mexican cuisine. And I think even Taco Bell would cop to that. Yum Brands would say, hey, you got us there, Brian. We're not high-end Mexican cuisine. We're fast Americanized Mexican.
Where else can you get a Mountain Dew Baja Blast?
That sounds like something I would pay extra for at a brothel in Pahrump.
I've been to Pahrump.
I have, too. Never.
Where's Pahrump?
It's
Pahrump.
Outside Vegas.
Yeah.
It's where the little drummer boy's from. Don't explain it, Roger.
I get it.
You don't have to explain them.
I'm not explaining it.
You just let it out there. You leave them out there. That's what happens.
You got to take a left at Albuquerque, don't you? To get there. You always got to take a left at Albuquerque.
It depends which direction you're coming
from. Nope, doesn't. Bugs Bunny always says you got to take a left at Albuquerque.
Well, if I take all my navigational directions or navigational advice from Bugs Bunny,
I'm just going to run around in a circle, pretty much like I do here.
Right.
By the way, what? Looking for a quick sports update?
No, I wasn't.
Well, I know. I was just asking.
No. Anyone that cares about the game is watching it.
Exactly. If they're listening to this, trust me, they don't give two hoots about the game.
I didn't know who was in the game till about Thursday.
Really?
Yeah.
I knew that. That much I knew.
Well, you're connected.
I am. I've got my finger on the pulse of America.
You've got so
many. I'm drinking
many...
Budweiser, eating Taco Bell, and listening to America.
At the same time.
All of it.
Now, Taco Bell goes upscale, remember? There's a movie.
What do you mean?
With Sylvester Stallone, they go very upscale.
A Taco Bell movie?
Wait,
yes.
The one where he's in the future?
Yes.
The one where he's
an arm wrestler.
He's eating
a chalupa with one hand and arm wrestling with another. But his superpower comes when he turns his hat backwards. You don't remember that movie?
I remember that one.
Over
yes.
the Top?
Yes.
That's a different one, though.
No,
this
Demolition
is,
Man?
This
Demolition
is Sylvester Man. Stallone, not
okay.
Schwarzenegger.
Roger?
Yeah.
Sylvester Stallone was in Over the Top. He was the arm wrestler. He was also in Demolition Man.
In Demolition Man.
I didn't say he wasn't in the arm wrestling movie.
Well, why did you bring up Arnold Schwarzenegger?
I thought Roger did.
No, I didn't say.
Are you going to blast his ratings too? Hasn't the man been through enough this week?
Yeah.
My goodness.
I just wanted to make
his
something
TV
up.
Prowess has
I just,
been
I don't,
been
I'm not
going to
feel like a real American until I just start making things up on the air. All right.
All right. Well, congratulations. Your citizenship papers are in the mail. Because you are American. Good for you. Good for you.
We didn't even need Budweiser to do this show.
No. Imagine if we had. Imagine if we had been drinking Budweiser all night.
Oh, God.
We'd all be doing it just like Harry Carey. And, Roger, just to your point, we don't live in the future. We live in the now. So right now, I'm talking about Taco Bell in the now. I don't know what's going to happen when Dennis Rodman is living underground and trying to usurp the authority of the man. That's not my concern. Neither here nor there.
Right. All right, I'm okay with that.
Oh, let's see.
It was an aside.
Many years ago, Chi-Chi's was voted the best Mexican restaurant in Springfield. That was high praise, of course. I used to like Chi-Chi's, but Chi-Chi's was around when there weren't a lot of Mexican restaurants. When it was very limited, unless you went to say Pilsen or somewhere Albuquerque, if you were in just any town USA, Chi-Chi's was the Mexican restaurant. They had good margaritas. My wife used to love their margaritas, Chi-Chi's.
You know how you get to Pilsen?
Take a right at Albuquerque?
Take a left at Albuquerque.
A left.
At Albuquerque.
Again, it's got to depend on which way I'm going. I've been to Albuquerque. You ever been to Albuquerque?
Doesn't matter. The globe is a world. It's circular.
The globe is a world.
Yeah. So if you take a left, you'll eventually get back around to where you're going.
You know I'm in much too big a hurry to take the circuitous route.
What you in such a hurry for?
Got to get somewhere.
What?
I got things to do.
Yeah, busy. What?
I got to get to one thing so I can move on to the next thing.
So you can drink some Budweiser?
Well, no. Listen, I'm boycotting everything.
Oh, you're boycotting?
No, wait. What am I boycotting? Oh, I'm boycotting the boycott of Budweiser.
Well, you can't boycott Albuquerque or you won't be able to get anywhere.
I'll tell you what. I've spent a number of weeks in Albuquerque, and they put green chilies on everything. Everything. Green chilies. They're the land of green chilies. So much so that it really wreaks havoc on you. Really wreaks havoc.
Theater of the mind.
Just imagine. Imagine the back end of the Batmobile. That's all I'll say.
I hope George Washington didn't go there first before I go to that show.
Before you go to his gorge?
Yeah.
All right, let's do this. And then I've got Krispy Kreme news, and it's not the delicious kind of Krispy Kreme news that you would think. Oh, man, what are we doing? Remember when Krispy Kreme donuts went on a huge boom and they were opening all over the country and everybody thought, man, this is going to be the greatest thing ever. And then there was a turn where Americans kind of went, well, we don't want to eat donuts anymore. And Krispy Kremes, a lot of them closed up. Well, they're starting to build up again, and they're becoming very popular. One just opened in the south suburbs near my mom's house, which is why I can't go visit my mom anymore. It's very sad, because every time I drive by, I just want to stop in and get a dozen Krispy Kremes. Krispy Kreme donuts, not only popular in the United States, they are popular south of the border, and this could be one of the casualties if certain things are built. Sonia Garcia is a woman who lives in Juarez, Mexico, which is just the other side of the U.S.-Mexican border from El Paso, Texas. Several times a week, one of her sons crosses the border to El Paso and drives to the Krispy Kreme shop. where he bulk purchases donuts at about $5 a dozen. He then returns to Mexico with about 40 boxes of donuts, and then they sell the donuts for about $8 a dozen, a 60% markup. They have been called the Krispy Kreme Familia. And that is, they have a Facebook page to that effect, the Krispy Kreme Familia, and they will help you out. The business calls to mind the notorious Mexican drug cartels, survives because of the obsession many Mexican people have developed with Krispy Kreme's signature recipes. Company opened its first franchise in Mexico in 2004 and now boasts about a dozen, boasts dozens of locations, rather, throughout Mexico, but not along the border. For a time, Juarez did have a Krispy Kreme shop, but a few years ago, amid a drug war that engulfed the city, making it one of the most dangerous places in the world, that location was shut down. Krispy Kreme officials did not return requests to the LA Times for a comment. I've been in Juarez three or four times, all before the embargo was put on and the, because there was an embargo between El Paso and Juarez. You couldn't, they didn't want you going back and forth. Then the drug wars got so bad. Then you remember the stories of all the women who were abducted and murdered in in Juarez. So Juarez became really a dangerous town. But when I first would go there, it was pretty cool. It was a border town, you know, like any other border town. They had a bull ring. I never went to the bullfights there, but they were known for, you would get a lot of El Paso residents who would cross the border because of the nightclubs in Juarez that were open very late, and you could get beer very cheap, and then you'd just come back across the border. Well, so their Krispy Kreme shut down, but necessity is the mother of invention, as we know. The Garcias saw the closure as a business opportunity and launched Krispy Kreme Familia. They won't discuss potential violations of the law, of course not, like her family's use of the Krispy Kreme trademark, or whether she pays import taxes on the donuts. I'm going to venture a guess and say no, but she did say the modest profits the family has earned in the donut trade have helped put one son through engineering school. I know there's legalities that I am not familiar with, and I know there's taxes that I am not familiar with, but I like this story a little bit. I like the fact that people will come over here and try to, you know, better their society by feeding their friends donuts. Alright, so the Garcias are among thousands of Mexicans who enter the U.S. regularly thanks to special visitor and work visas issued, to people who live in border communities. The community, if you've never been to a border community, they're so tightly entwined, the two communities, in matters of commerce, family, and geography, that there's a saying in these parts, when El Paso sneezes, Juarez gets sick. So people are crossing back and forth, and these people are crossing with a trunk load of Krispy Kremes. Cody, how come all the stories tonight are revolving around food? This is not good. First we were talking about snacks, now we got a trunk load of Krispy Kremes. I know we have to break. I'll do it right now. Valentine's Day is coming up. Do you have plans already? Cody, you have a young lady that you're involved with quite heavily. You have big Valentine's Day plans, do you?
Maybe.
Well, you could just say yes or no.
No, she's listening.
Well, here's the thing. I'm guessing she figures you have some sort of Valentine's plans. I'm not going to ask you to go into specifics.
I don't know.
She's listening?
No, I know she's listening, but I don't know.
Is that right?
If I
oh, you really don't know if you have plans?
Well, yet? I know if I... It's hard to say.
Wow.
Let's put it this way. You like better going, have plans.
It's like going down a rat hole every time I talk to you.
Look, a mystery. I'm a mysterious gentleman.
Is that what you are?
I'm mysterious and clandestine, and that's why the women love me.
I've been married almost 25 years. I don't need to be mysterious anymore. My wife knows I better have some Valentine's plans. I finally... Listen. I don't think she's listening. She doesn't listen to this. Because quite frankly, this is the 3 hours she doesn't have to listen to me. So... At home, she's pretty much trapped. That and I strap her into a chair and just talk to her, get real close to her face. It's like in A Clockwork Orange. I prop open her eyes and I just talk to her really, real close. It's freaky. So that, now she doesn't listen. I ordered something and it was one of those, I knew the place I was ordering from, but I've always dealt with them in person and they're a little bit flaky, even in person. But I ordered something from them, and I thought, all right, I'm going to risk it. Now, I ordered it 2.5 weeks ago. And You know, usually you order something and they say, oh, your order, you get an email, your order's been received. Then your order has been fulfilled. Then now your order has shipped, blah, blah, blah. I got something, thanks for your order, on the day I ordered it, and then nothing. And then I took to all forms of email and social media to try to track down if, in fact, I was going to get this said piece of merchandise before Valentine's Day. Because if it comes after Valentine's Day, I'm screwed. I need a Valentine's gift on Valentine's Day, even though my wife will say, and I bet your wife says this too, Roger, you don't need to give me anything for Valentine's Day.
Yeah, that's code for where the heck is my gift?
Got to have something.
Yep.
And I'm not a chocolates and flowers guy. That's, you know.
That's from year one or two.
Yeah, that's done. Dating. That's, yeah. You're right. That's when you're dating.
Yeah.
That's when you're trying to pitch a little woo.
You need the heavy duty stuff now.
Right. You got to go. Well, even if it's not expensive, but just unique.
Right.
It's got to show some thought.
There you go.
That's what I always try to do. Show a little thought. Because I save all my good thoughts for two or three days a year. Birthday, anniversary, Christmas,
good
Valentine's
man.
Day.
Good
four
man.
Days. The rest of the year, I don't show any thought for my interactions with her, which is unfortunate.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. But so anyway, finally, after repeated haranguing, I get another email. Your order has been completed. I'm like, what does that mean? Does it mean it's shipped? Am I going to get it? What's happening? Friday it arrived. So it's in my possession. But that's only phase one. I still have something that has to be done with phase one to make it into a complete gift.
Well, who's going to do that?
Well, that I can't say, or it will probably give things away.
All right.
But
now who's the vague one?
Well, no, I said I have plans. I said I have our gift. there's no doubt that I've done something, that I've made some plans. Plus, we're going. Here's another thing I won't do in our advanced relationship. We will not go out to dinner on Valentine's Day. I'm already planning on making a nice dinner at home on that day.
Yeah.
But we're going out like Thursday night for our Valentine's Day dinner.
There you go.
And very early, too. Because the place we're going, we can only get reservations. My wife gets off. She works downtown.
Right.
She gets done at 4 o'clock. Well, 4 o'clock's too early to eat, even for me. Even if I was 90. 4 o'clock, just that's lunch. But then there's a part of me that's like, well, I don't want her to have to come all the way home. And then we come all the way back into the city. Because that's dumb. So we're having our big romantic Valentine's dinner at 5:30.
Downtown.
Sure, downtown.
Yeah, nice. Yeah,
we're going to Gage's. You ever been there for fondue?
No, I've heard it's
great. Supposedly.
I've been to some fondue places. Very
this
good.
Was voted the most romantic restaurant in Chicago, I've heard. So, we're going there.
Good job.
Well, sure. I'm nothing if not a romantic.
Mm-hmm.
A romantic who has to eat at 5:30. So he's home before it gets dark, because that's when the boogeyman comes out. So I don't like to come home. But anyway, so the point is, you need to have plans, Cody.
I took my girlfriend out to brunch on Valentine's Day. Our first Valentine's Day together, we went to brunch on Saturday, 2015. Oh. You know where I took her? Taco Bell.
You did not.
I dead serious.
You took her to Taco Bell for brunch?
Yep.
How did that's they don't have brunch.
They had just started breakfast, the Taco Bell breakfast, and it was epic.
Wow.
And that's how I knew it was true love.
Because she didn't turn up her nose and run away?
She brought a couple little of those electronic candles.
Oh.
And we put them on the table and put the napkins out like a little tablecloth.
I think, you know what? Everybody does their own thing, and I think that's great. The White Castle near my house has had their sign that said Valentine reservations up for the last 2 weeks, and a phone number to call if you want to make Valentine's Day reservations at White Castle. And I know that's a thing. It's been a thing for years. I think that would be funny. I would do that. You know, I'll probably make something, you know, nice for dinner that night, but I'm not going out. Paying those exorbitant price-fixed menu prices? Are you out of your mind? Not a chance.
But doesn't your wife deserve it?
Yeah, but I'll take her out to the same restaurant on Thursday.
Well, it's regular price.
Sure.
Yeah.
She'll get the same food.
Yeah.
You know? Plus, she actually gets two, because then she gets to go out. Then I whip her up a fantastic meal.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic romantic meal at home.
There you go.
Which includes me dressed as Cupid. Serving you food.
How romantic is that? I was going to say nothing sexier than a man wearing an apron.
Well, maybe that's all I'm wearing. Still sexy.
I had a high school economics teacher that celebrated Christmas the day after Christmas, because that's when everything went on sale. And he told his kids, you get twice as much stuff.
No, I don't cotton to that.
So you don't go that far?
No, of course not. She's going to get... obviously she's getting a gift. I just talked about the saga.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm, no.
I was listening.
No. I just, there's certain things. Plus, you try to go out on Valentine's Day. It's like taking your mom out on Mother's Day. You ever try to take your mother out on Mother's Day? Everybody who's hasn't talked to their mother in 47 years figures they got to take their mom to brunch on Mother's Day. It's there's certain days where you just don't want to go out.
It's the busiest brunch day of the year.
Right, and servers are overworked and they're not happy and because they're not with their lovers on Valentine's Day, they're serving other lovers and it just and everybody's packed and they're doing these limited menus. If I want to go to a place, I want the opportunity to order some of their specialties, not this little, something they put together just for Valentine's Day, which is tiny. Oh, a whole big deal, So, no, for you to insinuate that I am cheap cuts me to the quick.
I didn't insinuate that.
Well, you did when you asked if I go as far as the guy who celebrates Christmas the day after.
But what I'm saying is about how you get more bang for your buck, because you're going to pay twice as much, too, if you go out on Valentine's
Day. Sure you are. And it doesn't. I mean, listen, if you're just starting your relationship, then by all means, that's what you do. But if not, please. Listen, this will be our probably 28th Valentine's Day together. We get it, I get it. It's not like I'm saying forget about it. I'm just saying there's certain things you do, you don't do. And if you're in a relationship, you probably think the same way. You taking your wife out on Valentine's Day, Roger?
Well, again.
On the actual day?
No. Oh, because, cool. See, this is, let's go back in history. This will be our 43rd Valentine's Day.
You've got to be running out of ideas.
No, I never do. It's not saying that all of them are good. but, we celebrate three within 7 days. We've got her birthday, our anniversary, and Valentine's Day.
Oh, that's right. I remember that now.
So
that's too many.
So, yeah, it's tough, even though I know that if I value my life for the rest of the year, I will do one thing per one event.
Well, sure, but that doesn't mean you have to go overboard on it.
No. It's the small, sweet things. And at this time in our lives, it's like, my God, you actually still remembered. So that's worth at least 50% of whatever the appreciation is. But because President's Day is on the 20th.
Correct. That's
on
Monday.
And there's no school.
How is this tying into anything?
Well, because we're doing birthday and anniversary on the 20th with the kids and the family.
Cody, you're putting this in our iPads, our devices, so we know Roger's entire social schedule.
I'm syncing our calendar.
There's a problem.
Like our cycles.
Like 99% of all restaurants are closed on Monday.
What is this, 1968?
Yes. The one we wanted to go to is closed on Monday.
Where'd you want to go on Monday?
Because everyone's off that day.
Oh, here's a tip then.
Yeah.
And listen, again, I'm not on the payroll for this place.
Okay.
But we were thinking of going this night, too. That Gage's, that fondue joint?
Yeah.
On the 20th, they end their big Valentine's Day celebration. You get, however long you're married, you have to bring your marriage certificate.
Yeah.
You get that percent off.
Oh, my God. We get 41% off then.
Yeah.
Wow.
That would be the day
to go. Monday the 20th?
I believe so. Check their website.
Okay.
But that's what we were looking. I was like, hey, we could skip going Thursday, and we could go on the 20th. She was like, well, we could go both.
Yeah. I think for President's Day, they should give you a percent off for every tweet the president sends on that day.
They would go broke.
You're serious?
They would absolutely be. Their business would be underwater in a minute. In a minute. But they could do how many 45th. Roger would still be just about equal, 41%.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah, no, that's...
But I still am going to have to do something for Valentine's Day. So.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
It kills me. I buy a card every year. It kills me. The greeting card industrial complex.
Yeah, why are you...
Charging me $8 for a Valentine? Why am I buying a card?
Yeah.
Because...
You can't make your own?
What am I, four?
Yeah, exactly. Four-year-olds are smart enough.
Right, four-year-olds. I don't have time for that. Ain't nobody got time for a glue stick and glitter. What?
Get her a goodie bag, like they do in the schools. You get a goodie bag filled with, like, little Valentine's things.
Here's what you do, Brian.
I already bought the card, too. I'm way ahead of schedule.
Look at you.
I am on top of things. You know why? Because I don't want to be that guy on next Tuesday running around at 7-Eleven going, you have one of those wilty roses left? No, I'm not going to be that guy. I'm a guy who prepares, because then, if, God forbid, between now and then, I cash in my chips, it's all gone. I'm done. I'm out. Dead.
Yeah.
She finds his Valentine's gifts and knows
mm-hmm.
that I was thinking of her right up to the end.
There you go.
That's how it is.
That's so sweet.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah, just don't forget where you put everything.
Well, she'll have to find it, because I'll be dead. But she'll find it and go, oh, wasn't he sweet? And that, hopefully that last memory will push aside all the other horrific memories. So her final memory of me will be, oh, he was thinking of me and planned ahead.
Yeah.
Instead of me getting hit by a truck coming out of Osco with the last card, you know, some card that's in Portuguese with a picture of two hearts that it's not, I don't know if it's a Valentine's Day card, could be a greeting card, could be, hey, thanks for donating an organ. I'm not sure, but I got a card. If I die with that card in my hand, that's not going to carry the same kind of cachet.
No.
Not at all.
No.
All right. You say, Brian, you said you had some advice for us. I've got it for you. I'll share some things that you need to tell your spouse or significant other every day to have a happy relationship. I'll tell you those things after this on WGN. According to this list, these are the 10 things you should tell your spouse every day for a happier marriage or relationship. All right. Let's see. This is from Reader's Digest. When was the last time you heard something from Reader's Digest? You should always say good morning or good night. Make it a simple habit to start your day saying good morning and ending the evening with good night. A simple good morning, sweetie, can start your... I say good morning. We don't... Sweetie? We're barely awake. Both of us are barely functional in the morning. So sometimes it's more like a morning. We're not very cheery. But it's, you know, there's always, as you leave, it's, you know, have a good day. Love you. Bye. So number one, good morning or good night. Number two, how was your day? Do you ask your lady about her day, Cody? Do you show interest in what her life is like outside of your loving embrace?
Well, not when we just woke up.
Well, no, this throughout the, this obviously at the end of the day.
Oh, later. Yeah, I do that. We do that.
A lot of times couples get so settled in that that's when you tend to forget that before you met the person you're with, you've probably talked all the time. Don't let this habit die. I'm trying to remember a time when my wife and I talked all the time. Now we talk out of necessity. Sometimes we talk just for fun, but, you know. That seems... Yeah, it's a fun talk.
What's the point?
Yeah, that's, come on. At this point, we talk strategy.
Strategy.
We're both on a need-to-know basis, you know, trying to figure out what's going on with our daughter, things. I do always ask her how... it's always like at the midpoint of dinner, after we've settled in, then I will say, how was work? And she'll tell me it was good or bad. And tell me what happened, and I listen attentively, and I nod, and then we move on. And she'll ask me, like, if I'm teaching, how are the kids? Oh, they were terrible. Or they were good. Or they got me sick, because they're just mucus-filled spew buckets.
Wow.
I love them. I love teaching these kids. But I'll tell you, there is not a hint of hygiene among them. None of them. You should tell your spouse or significant other, I'm proud of you. That would be nice. You make me happy is another thing you need to tell. You ever tell your girlfriend she makes you happy?
All the time.
That's beautiful. Look at you. No wonder you're in a successful relationship. I got to get some different headphones. Oh, here's one. What do you think? A relationship is not a dictatorship, but a democracy, and asking your spouse's input on a daily basis is important. I try to do that. That way also, then if I ask, what do you think, and we do what she says, then I can blame her.
It's not your fault.
It's not my fault. I have total deniability.
Yeah.
No accountability. She hates that too. She knows what I'm doing. Say, want to go out to dinner? I go, sure. Where do you want to go? And then if she picks a place and it's horrible, well, you picked it. You are hot, gorgeous, or handsome. Oh, I say that about myself all the time. No, I tell her that. What are we doing tonight? We never ask that because we know exactly what we're doing pretty much every night. We're eating dinner. We're going down to the basement. Except for nights when there's something to do.
Also, that's more of a logistical question.
Yeah. Well, it says couples can get stuck in a rut in their daily routines. Yes. But when you're older, married, and you're parents, there is a daily routine, and it does, sometimes it is a rut. Monday through Friday, if you've got kids, you know you got to get the kids ready for school the next morning. You're going to work the next day. Every night is not party, party, party. Every night is not a Lady Gaga halftime show with keyboards and keytars and dancers. Some nights are, let's eat dinner, get the kids' homework done, and get to bed. And that's it. You know? I'm sorry. Well, That's probably the one I say the most and the one I deserve to say the most. Hopefully you won't have to say this every day, but you should be humble enough to say I'm sorry and take responsibility when you've done something to upset or hurt your spouse. Nobody's perfect, blah, blah, blah. Please and thank you. Well, everybody should say that. It doesn't matter if you're married or just a human being.
Yeah, you can't say I'm sorry all the time, though.
Well,
then you become...
if there's something you're sorry about.
Yeah, but if you say it about every... there's a way to say it in excess. Have you ever been around those couples where it's just like they're just kind of tiptoeing around each other? They apologize for every little...
Oh, yeah, no, that's not me. Listen, I only... trust me, when I say it, it's deserved.
You got to say it about the things that...
matter.
Matter.
When you're really a tool, that's when you apologize.
Right.
Or when you're really wrong. All right, last one is I love you, which goes without saying. Say I love you. I will say, my wife had... she had a lot of room to mock me today, and yet she did not. So I mentioned earlier we're doing this whole big thing with the points, the Weight Watchers, the whole thing. So she bought some light English muffins today. And because they were less points than these other things that we use. And I was like, oh, I see them. And I said, oh, that looks good. I said, Dieter's Delight, huh? It's Dieter's Delight. So somehow I saw it as Dieter's Delight. Because in my mind, I wanted to think that a guy in Lederhosen was making my English muffin somewhere. And he was just so happy to make them. He was delighted. And she's like, oh, it's Dieter's Delight. Oh, are you sure? Yeah, it's Dieter's Delight. Oh, looked like Dieter's to me.
Did you pass it off like you were joking?
No, I copped to it immediately. And then she laughed like she had never laughed before. Like, you know when you see an infant laugh for the first time and they are convulsed and rolling about? That's how she laughed. Because I said, well, it looked like Dieter's to me. And then I went into my whole thing about wanting Dieter to make my, Dieter from Sprockets, actually, to make my English muffins. Now is the time on Sprockets when we make English muffins. And then Dieter would dance. So, yeah. But I didn't have to say I'm sorry for that one because she just knew that I was a dork. All right, listen. We're going to, we've got some things coming up after. After the news, man, oh, man, we're going to shift gears a little bit. I felt old when I heard this. Cody, actually, this is something that supposedly viral on the internet, a meme, something that I imagine Cody would have known about from the jump because he pretends or purports to be internet savvy. He's all about social media. He's all about viral videos. He's all about everything on the internet. Yet Cody may actually be too old for this viral video as well. So we'll talk about that. And then we haven't done this in a long time. We have a Florida news story.
Whoa.
I cannot wait. We haven't done a good Florida news story in, well, we haven't been on in ages. So we haven't done a Florida news story in ages. But, so we have all of that to look forward to in the next half hour, and then Karen Conti will be here after 8 o'clock. And at some point I'm going to figure out why, part of the reason I'm talking like such a goofball tonight is my headset keeps going in and out. So it's almost like I'm losing my mind.
You want mine?
No, we'll figure it out. All right, let's do this. Then it's news time, WGN. Cody had to run upstairs to get some carbs, so he will be down. I tell you that not because he is out of the room, but because he has the audio that we need for this this next story, because it is something I joke about being old, but I try to stay in touch with what's going on and what's current, because that's my job. I need to know what's happening out there. Plus, having a 20-year-old daughter helps, so I see what she's up to, and dealing with some of the youngsters in the Tony and Tina's cast reminds me that thank God I'm not in my 20s anymore, because life is very drama-filled and angsty. So it's nice to be past a lot of that. While I still have drama and angst, it's a little different and tends to be a little more, I don't know, comes with a higher degree of import, I would imagine.
You're more picky about what you become angst about.
Right.
There you go.
Because we've spent our time, and you're a man mm-hmm. of advanced years, Roger, much yes, more advanced than I.
Yes.
But you are, you know, you're the same way. We've seen it all. We've right. done it. We've done it. We don't sweat the small that. Stuff.
No.
Right? Because well, the small stuff, a lot of times the small stuff isn't worth sweating.
You know, the humidifier not being filled up, that's kind of small. It still
well,
bugs
is me. It? Is it? Or is it a symptom of something bigger that people don't recognize your need for nice, humid air, and when your nose and throat dries out, you just can't be the broadcaster you're supposed to be. So I would side with you,
yes,
and say, no, that is not a little thing.
Okay. All right.
You know?
I feel justified.
Sure,
thank
of
you.
Course.
Yeah.
But some things come along, and I am completely in the dark. So the other night I'm reading Facebook, as I want to do, as I sit in front of the TV, which is a horrible habit I've realized,
yes,
because I am missing, I've watched 7 episodes of Westworld, and up until the last 3, I was busy with, Facebook and other things, and I was lost. And I found that since I've started to actually focus and put down my phone, now I understand what's going on.
Well, that's good.
Well, sure, but it's...
It just means that the first 4 episodes weren't that exciting.
Nah, it's me.
Oh, okay.
It's me, because I found myself, we were watching Fences the other night, the new Denzel Washington film that he's nominated for.
Right.
Phenomenal.
I love it.
Phenomenal.
Yes.
And I was fortunate enough to get some screeners from the union.
Yeah, I know. So did we.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm watching Fences, and I found myself tempted to look at my phone, and I went, no, this is, I'm watching a masterclass in
exactly.
acting. I need to shut down the outside distractions and focus.
Yeah.
So
I gotta ask you. I have a friend, very intelligent guy, graduated University of Chicago, very well educated, smart guy. He does. I've called him out for being on his phone before. We were playing a board game the other night, and he was on his phone. I don't know what he was doing.
Unacceptable.
Doing something, and when I call him out on it, he gets irate.
Really?
And just. Just says, who cares if I'm on my phone? Why do you care if I'm on my phone?
Because I'm with you playing a game. We're supposed to be interacting with each other.
How do you articulate that it's better to be present and that it comes off as you're kind of socially inept?
Right.
You're
aloof and you're
being... But how do you communicate that?
Just like that. Say, listen... Why am I making it a big deal? Because we're supposed to be spending time together.
Because I've had
a friend for... Yeah, and if you want to just be on your phone, that's cool, but I don't need to be here for you to be on your phone. And I've had that. I've said that to people. I'm like, are you going to put the phone down or are we, you know?
Do they
I've been
it?
Accused of that
yeah.
quite a bit.
Of what,
by,
being on your phone when
right.
you should be actually
yeah,
present
yeah,
in a conversation?
Yeah, especially sitting at a dinner table with some other people. And I've.
Why would you ever?
I don't know. Because
why
I'm
would
a
you
bad
take
person.
Your phone out at the dinner table?
Because I was thinking, well, you know, there's something you just mentioned. I want to look it up. And I use that as an excuse to pull the phone out and then check Facebook,
check
Twitter,
other stuff.
And yes.
I've done it where we've been somewhere, but I'll say, if I sit down, say I'm expecting a call or
right.
a text, and I know this is coming, I'll say when I sit down, listen, there's a chance I'm going to get a call that I'm going to have to take.
Yeah.
But I would never just, and my phone is near me when, that's when I'm out with friends. When we're having dinner at home, my phone is near me, but not, I'm not looking at it while I'm eating unless...
Right.
I think the other night my wife asked something. We were having a conversation, which is rare. And then I kid. We were having a conversation, and something came up, and I went, well, you want me to look that up? And she was like, yeah. So I reached for my
phone.
Well,
that was a mutual
thing.
At,
right.
Yeah.
It was a mutual thing. But I think it's the height of rudeness and arrogance to be on your phone when you're supposed to be with someone else.
Yeah, I agree 100%, and all the times that I have been called out on it or have been given the stinky eye.
They must not have made an impact because you're still doing it.
Well, but the instances are fewer now than they were before.
All right, so you're
because
trying.
I've learned my lesson, and I'm trying very much to just, you know, be in the moment with the people I'm with and not get stupid and look up things on my phone that mean nothing to the moment.
Yes, why would, yeah. What is it that's
I
so important?
I think it's a compulsive thing. And part of how I knew I really, really liked the girl I'm with now is when we started dating, I didn't even have that compulsion.
Right.
I didn't have the temptation. Like, she would come over, and I'd put my phones away, and I'd have friends. I'd look at it after 3 hours. They'd be like, where were you? And
I was lost in her eyes.
I was.
I just couldn't believe it.
Endlessly. Endless to the
love.
Point where I needed to ask for directions back.
Wow.
I forgot to take the left at Albuquerque several times.
Wow.
Wow.
Uh-oh.
That's what happened.
Lost in the moment.
Lost in the moment.
So many moments.
Lost in her eyes.
Many.
My phone is in my pants. That's not what's vibrating. That's my heart.
Oh, God.
All right.
Why would you, if it hurts vibrating, see a doctor.
No.
Call 911.
No, because you can't take out your phone while you're with your lady. So that's, see, my friends, the few that I have, do not take their phones out when we're together. It just, it's, I don't know, there's just something about it. It's not, I've been in a car with people, and it's just you and another person, and you're driving, and they're checking their emails and stuff. I'm like, or making calls. I was in a car a couple times with a guy, a fellow, when I was doing stand-up. I'd be in the car with him, and we'd be on a trip to a gig, and he would be making calls. And I'm like, oh, wow, this is uncomfortable. This is not correct.
Well, would he tell you, hey, I got to make a quick call to
he'd just make calls. Then he'd text.
See, I think a lot of the phone stuff's okay if you say what you're doing. Like, especially early, and I've not been as good at this lately, but if I'm with my girlfriend and someone's been messaging me all day, I'll say, oh, I got a message our friend real quick to let him know we're not going to be joining for dinner tonight, and then I'll do it. And you know what? You know what's a really, here's a pro tip.
Pro tip from Cody.
If you voice to text, then they don't feel as totally excluded from what's going on.
Voice
so if I'm with
text.
You, if I'm with you and right. I say, oh, hey, I just remembered I got to tell my friend I can't meet him. I pull out my phone, go, okay, Google, hit the microphone or whatever.
Siri.
And I just, or Siri. And I just say, like, hey, can't make it tonight, period. Thanks, comma, catch you next, comma, exclamation point. And then I just hit send. I sound like a robot, kind of.
Right.
Like I'm Morse coding and saying stop at the end of everything.
Of course.
But then that person knows what you're doing and what you're saying, and you're not just, oh, hang on a sec. And then you just, like, stare at a screen for a minute.
Yeah.
And then they go, what the heck is he doing?
But how are you playing a game with a guy who's on the phone? That doesn't make any sense.
What do you mean, a game?
You said you were playing board games with your friend, and he's on the phone.
Yeah. No, they were playing a board game across the board from him.
I understand.
Oh, okay.
No, I understand, yeah, but why is he on the phone?
That's, I don't know.
All right, well, tell him. Tell him he's a tool.
It wasn't an exciting game?
It was.
Yeah,
were
you not holding
good...
his attention?
It was,
you have better options?
It was a good game. We were all drinking, so I know that. And we weren't drinking Budweiser, so I know he wasn't boycotting us.
Was that this weekend?
It was last night.
Oh, you were on the Isthmus?
I was in...
Madison's an Isthmus.
Is it?
Yep.
Well, I guess I
it's
was.
It's located between two bodies of water. Trust me on this. Look it up. You can look it up.
You're
calling me a liar.
I'm not. None of that happened. That was an alternative fact you just presented.
Is it?
Yeah.
I don't think so. Did anybody at any time while you were playing this board game say, cash me ass high, how about da?
What the
did
heck
anybody
did
say
you
that?
Just say?
Cash me ass high, how about da?
Is he speaking in tongues again? What the heck is
Cody,
going on?
Play it for us.
It's a thing.
It's a thing. It's
you
a
want
big
to hear
thing.
It?
I want to hear it.
Here it is. This is the whole Dr. Phil clip. It's not just the...
Oh, the whole clip?
Well, not the whole, like, segment, but it's the
right,
part where she says the thing.
Here's the backdrop.
Here,
the
this
background
is the set.
Is.
Well, you'll get the background. Get here it is.
Did you say the hoes are laughing?
Yep.
So the audience are a bunch of hoes?
Yep. Catch me outside, how about that?
Catch you outside? What does that mean?
What I just said.
What she just said. Catch me outside, how about that?
What the?
Catch me outside, how about that? Now, I guess this has gone viral. Because it's a 13-year-old who said this. She said it on Dr. Phil. You just heard it. After the audience weirdly applauded being called hoes. I didn't quite understand that either. But the audience applauded being called hoes, and that's cash me outside, how about that?
I think they were laughing because they didn't know what, because they're like, what did that person just say?
Well, that's Danielle Peskowitz Bergoli, a.k.a. Bad Barbie, a.k.a. Slim Thugga. That's her. She was on Dr. Phil. So when this happened, it went viral. According to this story, it was the most prevalent meme of 2017. Now, 2017 is only, what, 5 weeks old? So, not going very far. But cash me outside, how about that? Which I guess is a threat.
What?
It means catch me outside, how about that? But she's Slim Thugga, so she says it, cash me outside, how about that? I had never heard of it before. So the other night I'm on Facebook, which I started to say about 20 minutes ago. And a grown man who we all know, somebody who used to work here, said he used that in a sentence to his teenagers. And they were mortified. And I went, I don't even understand what that is. So then today, I'm on Facebook, and Dr. Phil was on Stephen Colbert the other night, and they were talking about this girl because she's going back on Dr. Phil because of the response she got from her first appearance on Dr. Phil. And then I'm like, oh, my goodness, that's twice in 2 days that I've heard a sentence that I had never heard of before that is supposedly wildly popular. Then I'm doing prep for the show, and I'm going through one of the many sites that I peruse for content, and I see the headline, Cash Me Assad's Teen, New Merch Store Capitalizes on Her Viral Fame. So, Cody, can you play us that clip again, please? Of that, of this young
as soon as I get
Danielle
it
Peskowitz.
Gonna take a second.
Bergoli, Danielle Peskowitz Bergoli.
I closed it. I thought we were past.
Why did you close
this?
It? Cash Me Assad, how about that?
I can only handle so much cash. And cash. So much being outside.
No, you gotta cash me outside.
How about this,
how
bro?
About that?
How about this, bro?
How about that?
Cash me outside. How about that?
Yeah, cash me outside. How about that? So her store, you know, the internet is going crazy for her. She's selling T-shirts and hoodies, and a few unconventional pieces of viral memorabilia, a puzzle, a throw blanket, and a ceramic plate like the ones your grandparents hang in their TV room. You want a ceramic plate that says, Cash me as ha ha ba da? That's going to be your birthday present, Cody.
Please don't give me that.
That's what I'm getting you that. Please. And I'm going to get you a Cash me as ha ba da sweatshirt.
Do we have a show that weekend? Maybe we don't have a show. Maybe I won't.
We don't because I'm going to be in the DR.
Oh, that's right. The DR.
The
but
DR.
Not on the DL.
No, I'm going to be on the WO. The wide open.
I know, we've been over this.
I know, but you seem to have forgotten.
Still horrified.
I know. What, that I came up with my own little thing?
You came up with that.
Yeah.
I'm impressed now.
Well, the WO? Yeah, mm-hmm. I came up with that just in the moment that I said it the first time.
I hope that goes viral.
It, it should go viral. Go to the DR on the WO.
Cash me on the WO. How about that?
Cash me in the DR. How about that?
On the WO.
On the WO. Maybe we need a viral merch store. We could sell puppets of all our former puppets. We could do all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
We could do like Montesquieu perfume.
We could.
You never know. Listen, now we've just given away a bazillion-dollar idea.
We really have.
A bazillion. All right, we have not done this in a long time. What is that? We haven't had a story from Florida in ages, but we have one next on WGN.
You looking for the Florida news theme?
Well, I got it, but I came off the page that the bump music was playing. For some reason, I can't turn down Cinnamon Girl. I guess I thought when you left the page, and again, I'm sorry, I apologize. That's way, way past inside.
Well, inside baseball here on the WGN radio.
Yeah,
Brian
so I thought when
show.
You left the page of the thing, it would immediately show
up. No, I thought it was going to be more music on WGN.
Listen, you never know. One day to the next, who knows? Ask anybody. Things can change at any moment. People are already calling in. I don't know if it's...
They're calling in to tell you how to use the computer system here.
Listen, somebody has to. There's no training. I get no training.
They calling
here.
For legal questions already?
Don't call you. Well, maybe. If they want to stay on hold till after the news, by all means. That's like 20 minutes. You want to be on hold for 20 minutes? I think back to the day when you were charged, you know, long-distance rates apply. When you had to call, when Empire Carpet used to put toll-free because a call from the suburbs to the city used to cost you extra.
Mm.
That was a long time ago, Cody. That's when you had rotary dial. Somebody, one of the kids this week, something came up. We were talking about something, and they asked if, I forget what it was, but it made it seem like I was ancient. Like, did you come to school on a horse? Did you go to school on a horse? I was like, no, we had cars. I'm not that old. They were kindergarten kids. They don't know. They don't know how old anybody is. If you're not 5, you're 100.
To them, you look like...
I'm ancient. Yeah. And why for not? Some of them, I'm probably older than their grandparents, which is sad but true.
You should have seen what I went through, and I was teaching high school.
Okay.
I
wasn't trying to best anybody, Roger. No, I wasn't saying that my experience was better or worse than anyone's. Don't feel threatened. I'm sure you're fine.
That. I'm just saying it's
I still get carded, so it's fine.
Shut up.
Come to Florida and die. All the good stories come from Florida. It's America's trailer park. You know that.
Woo! Uh-oh. Brian sees some blips on his Floridar. Get ready to go from classy to trashy. This is Florida News.
Woo!
Oh, Cody, one of these days we must have Ric Flair on to do a live intro for Florida News. That would be my dream. All right, we haven't had a Florida News story in quite some time because we haven't had time to do Florida News in quite some time, but I saw this story and it played right into my wheelhouse of road rage and driving stories and just horror on the roads, because most people on the roads, let's be honest, are jerks. And if you're thinking, I'm not a jerk, okay. Somebody next to you is probably a jerk. This comes from High Springs, Florida. When an angry driver confronted a young Florida father, he did what he had to do to protect his family. And that meant parking his pickup truck on top of that driver's car. You heard me right. Parking his pickup truck on top of that driver's car. That according to the Ocala Police Department. You ever been to Ocala, Florida, Roger?
No, I have not.
It's a wonderful, wonderful place. Horse country in Ocala.
Oh, really?
A lot of horses. Known for their horses there. It's, John Travolta has a place there. You
wonderful.
Fly right on. Yeah, a lot of horse people in Ocala, Florida. Not a lot to do in Ocala. But, you know, I guess if you're raising horses, you don't need a lot else to do. That's really all. It keeps you busy.
You just get up early. You feed them.
Yeah, and then that's it.
Take them out for a walk.
And you may say, Brian, how do you know so much about Ocala, Florida? I know a lot about a lot of stuff. But I spent some time. When you hear my stories, you ever go, man, you spent a lot of time in a lot of places. I was like a hobo, wasn't I?
Yeah.
A hobo or a gypsy or a carny. I don't know how I went, or a comic. That's really
there you go.
Because I was on the road all the time. And Ocala was one of those places I would finish the show, and this is just a sidebar. We'll get back to the story. Don't worry. I would finish my show and then immediately get in the car, no matter what time the show ended on Saturday night, and begin my long drive back to Chicago. That was back in the day when I could do something like that. Now, couldn't do it. All right, so Ocala, Florida. Adalberto Aponte, 53, was driving his Toyota Camry recklessly Wednesday afternoon, nearly causing several accidents and trailing close behind a Ford F-150 with an 18-year-old man, his girlfriend, and their baby inside. That seems fitting. Big truck, little family. The truck driver stopped at a red light, and Aponte got out of his car, approached the vehicle, and began punching the driver's face through the window. You've got to be all sorts of crazy to do that, because you never know what somebody has in their car. Well, the victim's girlfriend screamed that there was a gun in the truck in an attempt to stop the attack when her boyfriend was unable to grab Aponte's hand. The girlfriend did not actually have a gun, according to police. You ever been punched, just sucker punched like that? Could you imagine sitting in your car and somebody just coming up to the window and starting to punch you? I wouldn't know what to do. I'd cry. And probably inadvertently, I'd step on the gas pedal and cause all sorts of havoc.
I'd be in shock. I wouldn't know what to do.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If you've been punched in the face, even if you know that punch is coming, it's still a shock.
Mm-hmm.
But to be sitting at a traffic light and all of a sudden some crazy person comes up and starts punching you through the window, I can't imagine. Aponte told the family, I'll show you a real gun. I was going to do an accent, but I'm not sure what nationality Mr. Aponte is, and I don't want to profile. But let's just figure he's a lunatic. So whatever you insert your own lunatic, accent here. He started to walk back toward his vehicle. Traffic prevented the truck driver from moving forward. So instead, this is brilliant. He backed his truck up and parked it on top of the Camry so that Aponte wouldn't get his gun and cause further harm to his family. That is brilliant. Brilliant. It's like a monster truck rally right there on the city streets of Ocala. I would pay money to see that.
Did they yell yeehaw?
I don't know. I'm sure they were yelling, but yeehaw was probably not it.
Oh, okay.
I'm sure there was a lot of words that we can't say here, but I'll write them down and hold them up to the window of the Allstate Showcase studio in case people want to come and read them.
There you go.
Witnesses were able to confirm the victim's versions of events. Aponte was arrested at the scene and charged with burglary, battery, criminal mischief, and driving with a pickup truck on top of his car. No, driving with a suspended license. Completely different. The truck driver, however, was not arrested.
What?
That's excellent. Why should the truck driver be arrested? for parking on top of a Camry, that guy's got my undying adulation. Even though he's 18 with a baby, that seems young, but that's okay. I'm not judging his personal life. I'm judging his on-road reaction. And he gets an A-plus from me. Let that be a lesson to you. Go get yourself a big truck. I gotta trade in the Hyundai. I gotta get me a big truck so that I can start monster trucking people on the road. And I want the monster truck that has the exhaust that actually shoots sparks and fire out the side. Have you ever been just driving down the street and a truck pulls up to you with those 6 foot high tires and you're like, where are you driving, swamp thing? This is Harlem Avenue. You're not going to clear some of the underpasses. What is going on with you?
Well, a lot of potholes. He wants to make sure he doesn't fall into one, and the tires will help him balloon over.
I don't know where the survivalists are driving to, but they're driving around in these giant trucks. And again, if you drive one of those giant trucks, okay, I don't get it. I don't understand why you need a 6 foot tire.
You know,
just to drive around the city.
You were talking about not sweating the small things.
Yeah, quickly.
I've tried to explain it, saying, because they can.
That's
my explanation now, and right. I leave it at that.
Well, listen, my explanation now is we are out of time. We got to do this because then it's the news, and then Karen Conti will be here to answer your legal questions at 312-981-7200. Karen is here, and a very happy birthday to Karen Conti. Your birthday was on Thursday.
It was Friday.
And
it was a good birthday.
Well, I was a day off.
We had a little celebration the day before.
That's why I got confused.
Right.
And plus, I'm not good
basically,
with calendars.
Basically, it's a whole week celebration at
of
this
course.
Point
now,
in time
did,
because you can't just jam everything into
no,
one day.
No, you have too many admirers who would want to all show up in one place in one time. Did you do anything special?
No, we had some gathering at Hugo's, our favorite place.
That's your place.
Had some friends there. That was very nice. And then went up to Wisconsin and just kind of took a day trip and, just had some fun, went shopping and, had a nice dinner.
Are you one of these? Do you embrace your birthday or do you try to forego it?
I totally embrace my birthday.
You?
I worked this past birthday, and that was the first time in probably 10 years.
Really?
Because I think that, how many birthdays do you really have? If you're lucky, 85?
Maybe.
The first 10 you probably don't remember, and the last 10 you probably don't remember. So we've got, 60-something days where you can say that's your day.
Yeah.
You should do whatever you want. You shouldn't have to work. You shouldn't have to do anything you don't want to do, and you should celebrate yourself.
That's a good philosophy.
Yeah.
I should try to adopt that philosophy. Normally, I'm one of those people, I'm like, I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to think about it.
Yeah. I like my birthday.
People
even
make
though
a fuss.
It's always the coldest day of the year,
Yeah, February birthdays are always.
Yeah.
And it comes right after Groundhog Day.
Groundhog Day, and people are all celebrated out, and yeah.
Yeah. They're all celebrated out for Groundhog's Day. People party really hard on Groundhog's Day, and then you get nothing.
There's nothing
left for you. That's horrible.
Not even a shadow.
Oh, it's like the kids who have birthdays on Christmas. You're just robbed. It's
that
sad.
Little rodent.
I feel bad. And did Jerry take good care of you?
He did. He did. Well, see, the thing is, I get stuff all the time.
Well, sure. I don't.
Like when you it's a contrived day that you have to shop. That throws men into a tizzy.
Oh, I know.
So as soon as I see something I like, he goes, "Okay, could this be your birthday present? Please." So I got my birthday present a little early.
Listen, that's nice. No, I wasn't just being present. Maybe he makes you, I don't know, does he make you a nice breakfast in bed? Does he cook you a meal?
No.
Nothing?
No. Mm-mm.
Nothing?
No. I didn't have to do laundry, but no.
Wow.
Yeah.
Man, that's big of you, Jerry. Didn't make her do laundry. Got it one day away from your nasty skivvies. That's happy birthday, Karen. Good for you. You don't have to use industrial tongs to touch my underpants.
Take those small gifts when you can.
Listen, why look a gift horse in the mouth or in the crotch? Anyway, that's neither here nor there.
One's listening because they're watching the Super Bowl.
Contraire. People have been listening because they know, as we said, Cody and I said this for like the fourth or fifth year, we are the alternative to the Super Bowl. So people started before the game. Either the game's on and the volume's down, or they don't care about the game. So, yes, people are here.
Good.
312-981-7200 if you have a legal question for Karen. All right, the big legal news all week, and I don't know how much, are all these court rulings, these injunctions against the immigration ban, and I say ban because that's what the president called it. It's a right. ban. It's an immigration ban.
There have been numerous lawsuits all over the country. There was the first one in New York where there was a temporary injunction, which right. is a, you know, a stoppage of enforcement of that law. And then there was one in Seattle that purported to be a national. It was that the judge said that this applies nationwide.
Right, because that judge, quote unquote, suspended the executive order.
Exactly.
And said it would do more harm to America than good.
And so all of this is going to be sifted out at some point. There's all kinds of lawsuits. All different companies have got involved. I don't know if you saw that Amazon and Expedia and I believe Google got involved in the lawsuits, mm-hmm. and basically filing briefs saying this is bad for our business.
Well,
this
they have
bad
employees all over
employees.
The world.
It's bad for everything. So everyone's getting involved. You know, I know the ACLU filed a bunch of suits. I heard that they just are getting barraged with money. Oh, and they're
oh, yeah, last
their
weekend
their contributions are way up.
20-some million, I yeah. think, last weekend.
So all of this is going to somehow settle at some point and probably go up to the U.S. Supreme Court for the ultimate determination as to whether or not this is a legal ban. And, you know, just from my standpoint, if I had the gavel, again, I don't like the ban, so that's my personal opinion. Right. But from a legal standpoint, I think it's problematic because the Establishment Clause of the First Amendment, which says you can't basically favor one religion over another, right? And you can't favor religion over non-religion mm-hmm. or various sects of religion. So in executing this order, Trump has made comments that, yes, we're going to go easier on Christians when they're being persecuted. We're going to not, you know, apply this to certain religions. Yes, it has to do with being Muslim. So it's not like it was a religious neutral executive ban. It wasn't like, we're just going to pick these countries because the countries have proven to be dangerous. You know, people from there have been dangerous in the past.
Right.
You know.
Proven in quotes.
Yeah. And you know, he can do that.
Yes.
He can absolutely do that. If he decides that, you know, Turkey or Egypt, which he didn't, you know, had all kinds of terrorist activity, he can say nobody from those countries can come in. He certainly can do that.
Right.
As long as it's neutral when it comes
sure.
to religion. But the comments that he has made to everybody who will listen, basically, that flies in the face of it because he has said this is about the radical Muslim,
right.
Terrorists. So, and again, treating other religions differently. That's not what you can't do that. The Constitution does not allow. I mean, and some people say, well, he can do anything he wants to keep our country safe. Listen,
no,
the Constitution, you know, this is why people came from Britain and started their own country here because they were persecuted for their religious faith. This is the fundamental right of our people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, you know, I think people have just not paid attention to this stuff because we haven't had many issues about this,
yep.
unless it's something about prayer in school or, you know, some of those tangential issues
right.
that are not life-threatening or earth-shattering. But this affects a lot of people, and I think that we need to go back and look at the Constitution and read it and try to understand that this really does violate that if you look at the facts.
So the president, we know, has the right to enact these executive orders.
Yes.
The courts, who supersedes whom? So the president issues this executive order. The court says, we think this order is unconstitutional, so we are going to put a stop to it. Homeland Security says we're still going to abide by the executive order. The president is saying this will be struck down because a so-called judge did this. As somebody in the legal profession, an officer of the court, that had to be an infuriating statement.
It really is because, again, I have had rulings from judges, and under my breath, I could say a whole lot of things about the rulings
sure.
and how unfair they were. But as President of the United States, to denigrate a federal judge because he doesn't like the ruling and called her a so-called judge, I just find that really offensive. I mean, just separation mm-hmm. of powers, and he's the executive branch, and she's the judicial branch. I mean, that decorum or lack of decorum is just really troubling to me. It's lack of respect. It's showing lack of respect to a branch of government.
Well, and it breeds more of that
exactly.
throughout the country, the citizenry. If the president doesn't think that the judge, their orders stand, or that they're so-called judges, why should I, when I stand in front of the judge tomorrow, for a traffic ticket or whatever, I shouldn't have to listen to them. They're just
so-called
judges.
No, it's the beginning
judges.
Of anarchy. I mean, if you're telling your immigration people, go ahead with my executive order, even right. though the federal courts have said, there's a stay on it, an injunction. Again, we're creating all kinds of problems, including but not limited massive lawsuits. So listen, let's just say that, I don't know how many people are affected by this. 50,000 people are detained and they're not let in the country. And let's just say that it turns out that the ban is overturned on the basis of the Constitution. Right. Don't you think they all have civil rights lawsuits that are going to be actively brought and litigated? Yeah. They have to be defended by the United States or the various branches that are enforcing this order.
Right.
And there's going to be millions of dollars spent. I mean, what a waste of time. You know, I mean, do it right. If you wanted to do it, Donald Trump, do it right. Do it within right. the Constitution. Consult with good constitutional lawyers and get it done the way you need to get it done, because there's an avenue for these things.
But that would have taken time.
Well, yeah. Well, it would have taken some thought.
Sure. And
it would have taken some knowledge of the Constitution.
Well, we mentioned this last week. The White House is staffed with attorneys. There are I can't imagine how many attorneys are at their disposal to go over all this. And every agency that would have been involved, had it been done correctly, that doesn't mean you agree with it or don't agree with it,
right.
but at least it would have fallen into constitutional and legal, and then you can argue the ethics of it later, but at least it would have been constitutionally sound.
Right. And so I guess I just wonder what really is going on. Could it be that that he was advised on how to do it legally, which is just to say these countries have presented threats in the past. We certainly can do that. But then when you go on to say, oh, I'm going to make an exception for Christians and Jews and for
right.
people who are, you know, well, that's when he's getting into trouble, because he's opening up his mouth to basically tell the world what his intention was in issuing the order, which again goes to the intent, which again goes to the Establishment Clause. You can't favor one religion over another. So he could have done it the right way. Maybe his advisors told him, don't talk about it.
Right.
Just issue the order. Don't tell anyone of why you're doing it. I mean, everyone gets why you're doing
right.
it. And maybe he just couldn't hold it in.
If you're going to use one verbiage and then tell your staff to use a different verbiage, but then you continue with the same, labeling of it.
Right.
Well, then don't tell people that not to call it a ban, because you've called it a ban. I have a question. We're going to take a quick
sure.
break. I have a question regarding Supreme Court justices.
Yes.
Not the nominee in specific, but more in general, because I was having a conversation with a friend of mine, and I thought, well, this is a perfect question to ask Karen. Karen Conti is here. She is answering your legal questions, 312-981-7200. If you have a question, get it in quickly so that we have plenty of time to get it answered. We will do all of that. But in the meantime, Karen, people are bloated on chicken wings and dip from their Super Bowl parties. They're watching the Patriots get their butts handed to them, and they're listening to us, and they're thinking, I just can't possibly get
I can't
to the
take
phone.
Any more Lady Gaga yes. dancing. I just no. can't do it.
Oh, she played the keytar, though. That
yeah, I
was
know.
Very exciting.
She was full of energy. Really.
She looked very bouncy. We didn't hear it. I just saw it on the thing.
I was listening. I was listening and watching.
Well, so was I.
Yeah.
Well, I wasn't listening. I was just watching. All right. How do people get a hold of you during the week?
You can call me at 312-332-7800, or better yet, email me at kconti, KConti, at kcontilaw.com.
Your legal questions on the other side's WGN. Karen, fresh off her birthday, but that doesn't mean she stopped thinking about the law. No, even the law never rests, whether it's your birthday or not, correct?
That is so true.
Right. I have a question, but I will put my question on hold because Dorothy also has a question for you.
Okay.
And Dorothy's question, more important. Hello, Dorothy.
Hello.
What's your question for Karen?
It's hard to state. I had a power of attorney made, and one of the stipulations I drew a line through, and now I'm sorry that I did. And I'd like to put it back in underneath, initial it, date it, and I wonder if that would be recognized as a legal document done. Or
you're taking a risk, Dorothy, if you do it that way, because there's certain rules about how these things have to be executed, and plus it sounds like it would be confusing to someone reading it. Be better off just to go online, and you're in Illinois, I take it, correct?
Right, right.
So go online, you can get that Illinois Power of Attorney for health care or Illinois Power of Attorney for business decisions, whichever one you're talking
this
about.
This is for property.
Property, so go ahead and fill that out again and get, the people to sign it and do it all over again. That's probably the best way to do it.
Oh. All right. Thank you very much. But first, but before we, I would like to know what day in the week I could call you for a reference for an attorney. I do not have an attorney now.
Okay. Do you need an attorney for estate planning?
I need an attorney to help me change my will and to help me and give me some directions regarding my nephews that I have made, that I have given the power of attorney.
Okay, I just wanted to know what generally. So call me at the office anytime you want to call. If you email, that's even better because then you could.
I can't. Okay. I'm in the dark ages.
Okay, all right. Put aside your stagecoach. And no, I'm just kidding. give me a call anytime. Leave a message, and I'll try to call you back. And just tell me where you are, where you live, so I can maybe give you somebody in your area who would be convenient, and then I can get back to you as soon as I can.
What's that number?
312-332-7800.
All right, Dorothy, good luck. Give that number again in case Dorothy's in dark ages. Maybe her pencil, the tip of her pencil broke. We want to give her
that's
a chance to write
hard.
It down.
Don't
again.
You think it's got to be harder? Because I get this all the time. That people who just don't use email or don't have computers, we haven't, moved into that phase. And there's a lot of things you can't do.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Or you have to go to the library, or you have to have someone do it
somebody
for you.
Somebody else do it for
it
you.
It really paralyzes people. Yeah. It's unfortunate. 312-332-7800.
All right. So real quick, and maybe we won't have time to answer it fully, but I think you will. All right. We've a lot of talk about Supreme Court nominees, and we have a justice who is being nominated by President Trump. There was a justice who was nominated by President Obama. But my thing is, and I was talking to a friend about this, we were having a conversation, when it comes to the law, and I think you've said this, but the law is the law. And yet we hear all these arguments about a prospective justice's leanings. Isn't a judge, and especially a Supreme Court justice, supposed to just look at the law and take it for how it's written? Why is so much put on their political leanings when it comes to looking at the law and making decisions?
In my view, there's two different kinds of leanings. One is your personal feelings, okay? And you can't tell me that judges do not come. Judges come to the bench having been raised in poverty, having been raised in privilege, having been sent to school at private schools, having had ethnic origins. You come to the table with a set of beliefs, okay? Liberal, conservative, poor, rich, whatever that is. So that is going to influence your decisions because you can't take the feelings and you can't take passion out of the law because some things are very close. It can come down one of two ways, and it's the way you feel that might push you over the edge.
Okay.
That said, there are also leanings that some judges are originalists, like Scalia and like this nominee now. They believe that the Constitution is not living and breathing, that it should be interpreted just as it was written and as it was written all those years ago. And so, and are very strict constructionist in that they think that the states should have all the rights and the federal government really shouldn't get involved in much. I'm really simplifying that.
Right.
That's another leaning, okay? So when you take those leanings, the judges are still obligated to, A, support the Constitution and interpret the Constitution. Of course, interpreting the Constitution can be done in many ways,
right?
But you also have to honor precedent, because that's what our system is based upon, meaning if there's been a decision in the past that has already ruled on something, you are obligated as a judge to honor that precedent.
Okay.
So let's say gay marriage. Gay marriage, the court has decided that that is a right, a human right under the Constitution, and that states can't bar it and ban it. So. That is now a non-issue.
Okay.
Could the court go back and reconsider that? It would be hard for them to do that and save face because they are obligated to use precedent to issue their future rulings.
Okay.
No matter how much or how abhorrent that might be to a justice's belief system, you're obligated to follow precedent.
Okay. When it comes then down to state courts and even making decisions that are involved in, let's use the gay marriage argument since you brought that up. So we have this law that now the Supreme Court has ruled gay marriage is a human right. But now you've got states who are going to try to make laws that chip away at the main law. Then the Supreme Court may have to rule again, even though they've set precedent with this. Now they have to keep going back. Even so,
the best
once
example,
nothing's under the same umbrella.
No, the best example of that, Brian, is the Roe versus Wade, which was, you know, decided back in the 70s, and so it's been chipped away at over and over again over the years, depending on the makeup of the court.
Right.
You know, there's certain notification provisions that have been stricken, certain notification that have been upheld. So. It all depends on what mindset the court is in. And Roe versus Wade is probably the precedent that is most at risk with the advent of, like, this new justice coming in if he gets approved, because that they have been chipping away at that one for a long period of time, and I think it could be overturned.
Okay. And that's obviously one of the main hot-button issues in this country, but it'll be interesting to see. Now... And I get, this is not a legal question and we won't get too political, but, and we only got about a minute anyway. Do you think, what's your feelings on the nominee for the Supreme Court?
He's extremely qualified. You couldn't.
Well, that, yeah, that's
I
what
mean,
it seems,
you
right?
Know, the best education. He clerked for Supreme Court justices. He is a wonderful writer. He's well educated. You know, he's everything that he should be. I can't say that. He's just very conservative. He's even more conservative than Scalia, who is the most conservative justice in a long, long time.
Right.
So I think that he is a good pick. You know, I mean, I don't like his politics, and I don't really believe in some of his rulings that offend me a little bit. But again, taking the politics out of it, he's certainly qualified.
Well, yeah, that's a hard part because you go, well, all right.
But so was Merrick Garland, and Merrick Garland
was very qualified.
Was qualified and was centrist.
Yes.
So he should have been approved with no debate whatsoever. Right. This guy, I guess you could say,
should have at least had a hearing.
So that's the interesting part. What should our legislators do? Should they do payback?
Well,
or
then you
should
get
they
that...
just do the same wrong thing that the other side did?
Right.
You know, that's always
then
that.
It's like, are you a hypocrite or do you take the high road? And the high road
makes you look weak sometimes.
It makes you
know?
Look weak a lot of times, unfortunately.
Yeah.
All right, let's do this. Kara Conti is here answering your legal questions. 312-981-7200. Kara Conti is in here. She's answering your legal questions. 312-981-7200. That is how you get in on the phone. That's how you get in on the text. And getting into tax season now, everybody should... do you need a tax attorney if you're just a regular taxpayer? You know, if you're just doing your income tax,
no,
you don't need an
attorney,
right?
No, you don't. In fact, tax attorneys, in my view, are usually when you have trouble with the IRS or you have issues or you have an audit or you have something that is significant. But a good accountant, family accountant, is a great person. I've got a great guy who I've been referring people to who's just fabulous. He makes everything simple. He gives you a way to keep your stuff together during the year.
Good accountants are worth their weight in gold.
Easy, and he is good at explaining complicated things, and I just think the world. So if anyone needs a good accountant, send me an email, and I'm happy to give you his referral number.
A real quick question from a texter, going back to what we were talking about, Donald Trump's comment about a so-called judge, and it was a judicial insult. They said, judicial insult by Mr. Trump, can he be held in contempt of court? Can you be held in contempt for insulting a judge?
No, okay, no, he's not part of the litigation, and you can't. I mean, he can say whatever he wants. I mean, I didn't say anything was illegal about
right.
it. I just find it distasteful because, again, if I said something, and even I wouldn't do that, but if I said something that judge doesn't know what she's talking about, or, you know, that's one thing. I'm a lawyer. You know, I should respect the judges and I should respect the law, but he's the president.
Well,
and again, we already talked about it, but what you said is true. You need to set an example. This is not like a sports, you know, star. I'm not a role model. He is a role model.
Right.
He's supposed
You're
to
the
be,
president.
You know, the best and the brightest,
You're
and he's
leader.
Supposed to be showing respect for our government, which is a wonderful government of checks and balances and all those good things. So, No contempt.
All right. 312-981-7200. Joseph's been hanging on. He's in Avondale. Hi, Joseph.
Hello. How are you?
We're well, thanks.
This is involving a class action lawsuit.
Okay.
I was arrested. It was like a sweep thing. And this was, and I'm looking at the paperwork. It says, on set for August 11, 2016 at 8:13 between Amy St. Eve at the McKinley.
Okay, hold on a second. Hold on, wait. What? You got arrested? Is that what you just said?
They arrested me.
Okay, for what?
Then,
for what?
I was walking down the street, and my brother's house happens to be on the next block over from the projects. And they just grabbed me. What are you doing? Put their hands on the car. They searched me down. They frisked me. They ran my ID, and they said, you're wanted for a failure to appear warrant. And I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. And he pointed at the computer screen that they had in the police car, and he said, isn't that you? I said, yeah, that's me, because you just ran my ID. Yeah, that's me. Well, anyway, they held me for 21 days.
Okay, so did you not appear in court as you were supposed to on a prior?
No. They grabbed me.
Hold on. What you're saying is that when the police pulled your name up on the screen, it showed that you failed to appear for a court appearance for some other case. And is that true or not true?
No, it's very untrue. And it was for intention to distribute drugs, and I was like, I.
Okay, so that wasn't you. They got the wrong person, and you spent 21 days in jail. Didn't you get a lawyer or call a lawyer or have a public defender or someone get you out?
I'm pretty much a dead broke person. I'm a part-time worker.
But you have a right.
Have a lot of money.
But you have a right to a free lawyer in this country that we are in.
But you can't lawyer up until you get charged.
They didn't charge you for 21 days?
I was at 26 California.
Yeah, it's not a nice place.
And like I said, and I don't really know. I mean, I know my rights, but I really don't know my rights. And I don't know if you ever been to jail and you try to ask a guard for some help. They're like, shut up and sit down.
Okay, so Joseph, here's what are you asking me? You want to bring a lawsuit?
Here's what I'm asking you. I get this letter from at the very top. It says the United States. For the Southern District of Illinois in blah case number. And it says.
Okay, you don't have to read it. Just hold on, Joseph. What you, I'm not understanding. You're being summoned to court at the federal building.
No, it's not a summons. It says in bold letters, you're eligible for a settlement of up to $1,000 because. After they said I was not guilty, they should have let me go immediately. But they didn't. They held me.
Okay. So this is some class action suit. It sounds to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, Joseph, he got a letter saying that because of this, he would be eligible. It sounds like they're trying to sign you up for a class action suit. Is that accurate?
Right. And this was in August, and I signed up. It's now 8 months later. I haven't heard from them. So I continue to read, and at the very bottom it says, do not, which is underlined, contact the court, including the clerk of the court or the defendants, with questions about the settlement of this lawsuit.
Okay, Joseph, where did you send your documentation to say that you wanted to join it? Did you send it to a lawyer's office, a plaintiff lawyer?
They sent me a self-addressed stamped envelope, and I guess I was an idiot for signing that thing. But I do have the other document that was in that letter.
Did you send him money?
And there's got to be a lot of people.
Okay, so you know what? I think you need to. Are you online? I think you need to go online and plug in class action lawsuit, Northern District of Illinois federal lawsuit, and just see if there's some information about it online. If you probably didn't send the information to the court, you probably sent your information to a plaintiff's law firm who was handling that class action lawsuit and wanted you to be part of it. So you probably didn't send anything to the court. Although I don't know because I don't have the stuff in front of me. So I think you need to find out who you sent that stuff to, who the plaintiff's lawyer is, and then you call that plaintiff's lawyer and you ask what the status is. But don't be surprised if you're not going to get an answer because these things take years to resolve. Yeah.
All right. Good luck, Joseph. Good luck. Hope that works out for you. Kim is in Bartlett. Hi, Kim.
Hi.
What's your question for Karen? We're well, thanks.
Good. My question is, I'm getting ready to file my 2016 tax return, and my house is in the process of foreclosure. And I'm wondering how that would affect the tax return or if there's a special form that I need to complete.
I don't know the answer to that. That's more of an accounting question. And I, do you have an accountant who, number one, do you have an accountant who's going to help you with your taxes?
Usually I do TurboTax.
Okay. And do you have a foreclosure lawyer?
No.
Okay. So you're just going to let the house go into foreclosure?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Are you not doing anything about it?
I tried to do a short sale, but they wouldn't approve me. So I stayed there a long time and kept paying, and I got married. And I ended up having to move to Illinois. The house is in Indiana.
Okay.
So I'm going to let it go through foreclosure.
Okay. I don't know the answer to your question, Kim. I don't think there's anything that you need to do, but once the house is out of foreclosure, you're going to have some debt associated with foreclosure. You're going to have a judgment against you. You're going to have probably a judgment for remaining balance and attorney's fees and the like. And how you deal with that on your taxes is something that you would need to talk to an accountant about. Maybe that's a deduction. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you for trying.
Okay.
Sure.
You're welcome.
Good luck. Yeah, accountants, you got to have a good accountant.
Yeah.
Thankfully, I've had the same one for 30 years. Always, thank goodness, always took care of me.
Yes,
me too. Now, when you ask about somebody having a foreclosure attorney, what would a foreclosure attorney do?
Well, foreclosure, for people who have never been foreclosed on, is a lawsuit. Okay, so your mortgage holder will file a lawsuit. There'll be warnings and all that kind of stuff, and then you get served, and it's bank versus you, and you can go in at any time, and you can try to get things extended. There are some foreclosure lawyers who will keep you in your house for a period of time. That's only temporary because at some point it's going to be foreclosed
upon. Yeah, you gotta pay yourself.
Some foreclosure lawyers will try to negotiate a short sale or some kind of a deed in lieu of foreclosure. I have a guy that does just that. He's up in the northern suburbs, but he practices all over the Chicagoland area, and he deals with all different aspects of foreclosure. That's all he does.
Ah, okay.
So if anyone needs that referral, give me an email. Just shoot me an email, and I'll shoot you his name and his contact information. But usually,
a legal standpoint, is it better to get an attorney and try to work it out, for lack of a better term, or to just, as you said to our last caller, to just let the house go?
I think it's always better to get a lawyer to make sure there's nothing you can do.
Right.
Because otherwise you're going to have a judgment against you for the entire amount of the mortgage, and it's not going to go away unless you file bankruptcy.
Okay.
So, you got a foreclosure, you're followed closely by bankruptcy.
Yeah.
And maybe there's some ways that you can, resolve it short of letting that happen to you. Yeah. I mean, it's worth it not to have a $200,000 judgment against you that'll never go away.
That sounds about right.
Right? It seems to me that you should come up with some money and pay a lawyer at least to give you some advice about what your options are.
There you go. Karen Conti's here. We have a few more minutes with Karen. 312-981-7200. If you have a legal question, by all means, get it in before our time is up. But as we know, people will wait, and then they'll call at 9:58, and we'll go 8:58. We'll be gone. It's too late. We're out of the house. So how do they get a hold of you during the week?
You can call me at 312-332-7800 or email me at kconti@kcontilaw.com.
More with Karen on the other side, WGN. Something came out the other day that Drew Peterson's son did an interview. Did you see this?
I did not.
And it was for some network or some show, and they supposedly paid him about $10,000 for this interview. And he said that, it was probably likely that he thinks his dad, Drew Peterson, actually killed his third and fourth wives now.
Oh, really?
Yes. That he thinks he could have done it. So, and of course.
Is that the police officer?
Yes, the former police officer.
I wonder if they had a falling out, because he was a big supporter.
Very big supporter.
Yeah.
And that's why I thought it was interesting, because, and even some, I think it was Stacy's relatives who were questioning the legitimacy, because he had been paid for this interview, and so maybe, because he's taking care of some of Drew's kids.
Right.
So
and he lost his job, I believe, at some point. And that was kind of unfair that he just got put, in his dad's basket, and they came down very hard on him just because of his name, and that's a horrible thing. That's one of the things about crime and prosecution. The whole family gets nailed, you know, even if they're
totally
innocent.
And that's unfortunate.
Yeah, it really is.
The sins of the father.
Yeah,
you know?
And people change their names and move out of state and don't want to be associated, and it's hard.
All right, we've got Nancy. She's been hanging on in Freeport. Hi, Nancy.
Hi. I know of a guy 2 years ago. He had a 30-year mortgage. He was in his house 20 years. His mom had cancer. He took care of her. He lost his job, didn't pay the mortgage for 3 months, found out he had diabetes, and he was a welder, really good. They foreclosed on him. He didn't have his mind about him taking care of his mom, and then she died. But they did that. What about the equity in his house? And now, what I heard you say before, they can sue him for the rest of the mortgage?
Yes. So here's what happens in foreclosures that I see. I don't do this kind of work, but I see it all the time. You get into a bind, right? Maybe you lose your job or you have something bad happen. You get sick. This is very common. What's the first thing that goes is the mortgage. You can't pay your mortgage because it's a big chunk of money that you don't have. So instead of putting the house on the market immediately, right? Put the house in the market, because if you have $200,000 in equity, you can sell the house and the mortgage will be paid off. Maybe you're a few months behind in arrears, but at least you'll have that equity.
Can they still do a lawsuit against them? For the rest of the mortgage?
That's what a foreclosure is. They bring a lawsuit against them to get them out of the house and to get the excess mortgage.
Never be able to stand up the rest of his life, man.
Well, I can't tell you what I would do as his lawyer, and there may be some defenses. But again, when you are not paying your mortgage, don't just let it go.
Right.
Don't just throw the envelope in the, you know, you're going to get sued. It's going to be bad. You're going to have to file bankruptcy. You're not going to have a place to live. You may not even be able to rent, because now, these days, you have a super credit check. And if you have a mortgage foreclosure, even though you paid your mortgage diligently, like this poor gentleman, for 20 years and had a turn of bad luck, he may not even be able to rent an apartment. So get a lawyer. Figure out a short sale, figure out a deed in lieu of foreclosure, or sell the house. And do it fast.
Right.
Do it before it's too late.
All right. Thanks for the call, Nancy. Yeah, it's tough, but you're right. My daughter's trying to rent an apartment, and her credit check, our credit, everybody, they check your credit nonstop.
It's amazing. I think that when it comes to these sad things, people ignore them, you know. Even with child support, I see this all the time, where someone, you know, falls behind in his child support. He loses his job. Instead of going to court and asking for a reprieve in his child support, saying, listen, I can't pay it right now, let's put a hold on it or reduce it while I'm looking for a job, all of a sudden, it's $40,000. All of a sudden, it's $60,000. And then you just make it go away, and all of a sudden, the person comes back, the spouse, and says, now you owe $60,000. Now you can't possibly pay it. And maybe you lose your driver's license and your license. So now you can't work.
Right.
And now you're in trouble. So, you know, you just have to take responsibility when something happens.
Let me ask you about that. How open are the courts to situations like that? If someone who is supposed to be paying child support goes in, you know, they lose their job, and okay, you're looking for a couple weeks because you think, well, I'll get another job right away. I won't miss the payment. Well, then you realize, okay, it's going to take me a little longer to get a job. How open are the courts to say, all right, we understand that?
The courts will do one of two things. We'll either just say, okay, we're going to stay your child support obligations right now.
Okay.
I guess two or three things. Or take money out of your bank account if you got money in your bank. If you don't have money in your bank account, there's nowhere you can get it.
Right.
And then later, when you get your job, the judge will say, all right, now pay your child support, but pay an extra $20 a week
to make up
for the arrearages.
Okay.
Or just reduce it altogether. The judge may say, I'm going to reduce your child support because your job is less than it was before and you're not making as much money. The problem is when you let it go so long. I just had a case, Brian, last week where the guy owed almost $150,000 in child support. He had started out by losing his job, but then he just thumbed his nose at the court. The judge brought him into that courtroom and said some very serious things. He made the mistake of going on Facebook and with his 34-foot boat.
Oh.
Someone asked him, hey, is that yours? He goes, yeah, it's mine. Right on Facebook. So I got to pull that out, and the judge says, you know, you better find you better go to your couch and find all the change you can, and your girlfriend and your mother and your father and everyone, and you better come back here with X amount of dollars. Otherwise, you're going to spend 6 months in jail. And where we're sending you to jail, you have to pay rent. There's a statute that says for their cost of incarceration, you're going to have to pay it.
Is that right?
Yes. And that guy was
The rent there? Because some people are looking. Maybe it'd be cheaper to go to jail.
Yeah, really.
Live where you're living.
Three squares, right? Yeah, so I mean, you know, of course I'm on the other side of this, so my client is hopeful that she's going to get paid some money, and I think money will come out. I mean, when people are faced with this, you're going to find people have money and resources that, but again, you know, when it got to that point, the judge has no tolerance.
Right. Well, yeah.
None whatsoever. Why did you let it go? Why didn't you come in here and reduce it? Why didn't you call her up and tell her you can't afford this?
Why did you buy a boat?
Yeah. Why did you buy a boat?
Why did you buy a boat?
I think
that would be question number one.
I think a lot of, I'll say mothers, but it's both parties. You know, sometimes it's the dad who has the children. You know, they don't want to come back into court. Number one, it's expensive to get a lawyer to do it. Number two, sometimes they've just had enough of that spouse, and it's like, you know what? I'll do it by myself. I'll get three jobs. I'll put my kid through school. I don't want to have anything. And then finally, at some point, they go, all right, it's $100,000. You know what? I could use that.
Yeah.
And then they go back, and then the other person's in trouble.
Man, oh, man. Yeah. Let me ask you, since I brought this up, and I know a lot of parents are in the same situation. As the school year ends, kids are looking to rent apartments at school. Would you recommend to any parent or student who is going to rent something to have an attorney look over any potential lease that your kid might be signing?
You know,
do you need that?
I don't think you absolutely need that. Most leases are pretty standard. So the city of Chicago has a standard residential lease. It is a good idea, though, to see it. It's a good idea to know who else is leasing the apartment.
Right.
What is their wherewithal? I know parents a lot of times will co-sign, so that's a problem in case, you know, one of the parties, you know, damages the property.
Yeah.
There's a lot of bad stuff that goes on in college towns where people, you know, things get catch on fire or there's water damage and sometimes parents get put on the hook for that kind of stuff. I would say you don't necessarily need a lawyer, but I would sit down with your child and read the lease.
Yes.
And just read it. You know, what does this mean? When do I have to pay rent? When is late too late? What are my rights? You know, now if you have a problem with the lease, like you have cockroaches or you have some bad issue where the heat isn't, you know, turning on, that point you might need a lawyer to come in and say, here's what your rights are. You can withhold rent and do it this way. But just to sign a lease, not necessarily.
All right. You never know. And it's one of those things, I'm sure, like I said, a lot of people are going through that at this time. And so they're like, oh, man.
And, you know, the other thing I should say is that some colleges provide legal services for that.
Ah, very good.
So you should look into that, too.
Very nice. You will be on with Steve Cochran on Wednesday morning?
I will, 6:40.
What do you think? What do you think? As the week, if you had a crystal ball by Wednesday, where do you think all of these legal...
It's going to be ongoing for a long time.
Probably
it's
going to
be
4 years, right?
For a long, long time. And there's just so many lawsuits that Trump has himself. He's going to be doing things his own way that is going to clash with the law. And I think that the liberal side is going to use the legal system to try to rein him in.
Right. So, let me ask you this, because the president was still involved in some litigation before he was inaugurated. Will he be called for depositions and testimony in those, and it's okay, right? Because he was named in these lawsuits
before.
But
I just have one concern for him. You know, Bill Clinton was in a deposition during the time he was president about a case that happened before when he was governor, and he told a lie. He said he didn't have sex with somebody.
Right.
He lied about an extramarital affair. Oh, wow, right?
Right.
But he did it under oath. And guess what happened to him?
Got impeached.
He got impeached. You know, when someone has the bullseye on your back, you have to be careful.
Right.
And he better be careful.
All right. Well, listen, it will always be interesting for you because there will
always
be something in the legal system. Exactly. All right. Well, you will be here by yourself next Sunday from 8 to 9 because Northwestern basketball, and there's a short show, and so you're going to be answering questions by yourself. But I will see you, I don't know, sometime I think in April we're back.
I don't know.
No, I don't think it's that far, but it's March, I think. Either way, it was good to see you. Happy birthday again.
Thank you, Brian. Thank you so much.
Give your number one more time.
312-332-7800 or kconti@kcontilaw.com.
All right, we'll say goodbye in a minute. WGN.
All of us. Online. WGNradio.com.
Thank you for listening and being part of the program. Again, sports will be messing with our schedule quite a bit over the next few weeks. Have no fear. We will still be doing the web-exclusive podcast. We will keep you abreast of all that is happening in Cody and my world, so be listening for that. Rick Hogan comes your way on the other side of the news. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com. The news is sponsored by Lindeman Chimney Company. 9 o'clock. Here's Roger Badish.